Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Ram 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Yeah. Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki Jayam Tirira Pravishtam Shapad Paramahamsa Paripratyakacharya Shtotra Sharat Shri Shriman Bhakta Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki Ananda Kodi Vaishnava Vrinda ki Namajari Shri Haridas Thakur ki Prem Saho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Govinatha Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhani ki Vrindavan Dham ki Vrindavan Dham ki धाम की गंगामाई की यमुनामाई की वासी देवी की मंदिर देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौरव प्रणति ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटी ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटी ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटी ऑल ग्लोरी ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमामि शुभदाय कृष्ण प्रसाद गुरुदेव श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी दी नामे नमस्ते सरस्वती उन गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश हरिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह्य गृहीतांगं मामोद्धर भवार्णवाल श्रीमल्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो मम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरतश्चार्तेषु अभिज्ञस्वरात् तेने ब्रह्म हृदय आदिकवये मुह्यन्दियल्सूरयाः तेजोवारिमृदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तमुभगम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि ധർമ്മ പ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്രമരമോ നിർമത്സരാണാം സതാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവം അത്ര വസ്തുശിവദം താവത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിംവാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭിഃ ശുശ്രൂഷുഭിഃ തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമ കൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃത ദ്രവസംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദി ഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുപേതം അപേതകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരം ആജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഃ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണു കുണിതാദൃദാനനെന്നോഹോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ మధురేమ్నా కణికాభి కాభిగాభి. నమా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇది నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశా యాసాం హరిగదో గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధా సహాయం అతిసుందర మందహాసం వాదాలయేశ మనిషం హృది భావయామి. కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారగ వేదవేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురతో మమ. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంఘం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానంద మాధవం. ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమ, శ్రీమతి రాధికాయ నమ, సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. So last Sunday we were hearing from Parikshit Maharaj how Parikshit Maharaj was given description of the Rajasuya sacrifice which was performed in honor of Krishna by Yudhishthira Maharaj in Indraprastham. That's what we were listening to. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, after this particular pastime of Krishna, which is one of the most important pastimes where Krishna showed to the world that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Through this Rajasvayam sacrifice, few things had been shown to the world. First thing, Krishna exhibited his opulences to such a level that those who saw there Krishna's opulences have come to accept that Krishna is not, Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality himself. So that's one. Secondly, there were two other great commentators say that Krishna had two more intentions in this Rajasuya sacrifice. One of them was that Yudhishthira Maharaj, who was put into such a difficult situation due to the friction within the Kaurava family, that Yudhishthira Maharaj was in a very helpless situation. So when one gets helpless, that is when one comes to Krishna. Otherwise one does not easily come to Krishna. Only when one feels totally helpless in this world that one is subjected to the three different kinds of distresses, adhyalpiyam, adhibhaudiyam and adhidevigam. So sometimes it makes us to think that there is a higher power above us controlling our life to a large degree, and our independence is very, very limited. Yudhishthira Maharaj also has surrendered completely to Krishna. And if you surrender to Krishna, what can happen in life? That is also shown by the Rajasvayam sacrifice. Because to a devotee like Yudhishthira Maharaj, Krishna has given all strength, allowing him to perform this sacrifice. Even to glorify Krishna and to worship Krishna, one has to get an opportunity. It doesn't happen very easily. So when one gets an opportunity to glorify Krishna, that too in presence of Krishna, Krishna normally don't offer that to many people very easily. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here in Rajasuyam you find that from that most difficult situation in Yudhishthira Maharaj's life, where he had no wealth, he had no friends, and he has been completely rejected by his brothers, Kauravas, and he was put into a very difficult situation. From there, Krishna has brought him to this level, allowing him to offer this sacrifice to Krishna and thereby glorifying Krishna in that Rajasuyam sacrifice. So this is something to take note of, because normally people do not realize that what is Krishna's relationship with the devotees. We see everything from our point of view. But from Krishna's point of view also, that if someone is a devotee of the nature of Yudhishthira Maharaj, although he was his Krishna's by age, he is elder to Krishna. Krishna decided to honor him by allowing him to execute this Rajasuyam sacrifice. So Krishna was very pleased with the Rajasuyam sacrifice. Not only that, Yudhishthira Maharaj was in tears when he got this opportunity to glorify Krishna along with the whole family of the 16,108 wives, their children and the grandchildren, and their wives and their servant maids, such a large family of the Supreme Lord. And Yudhishthira Maharaj got an opportunity to honor them. And that was a big thing in Yudhishthira Maharaj's life. Nothing else in Yudhishthira Maharaj's life mattered as much as this opportunity to glorify Krishna in this way. This was one of the purpose of the Rajasuyam sacrifice. Secondly, in the Rajasuyam sacrifice also, Krishna has planted the seed for Mahabharata war, which we discussed before, that the Mahabharata war, the seed was planted in Rajasuyam. In other words, apart from killing Shishubala in the Rajasuyam sacrifice, Krishna also decided to wipe out many, many kings who were atheistic and who were demoniac and who were giving trouble to the other different living entities. So in one Lord, Krishna decided, I'll get them all together in this place and slaughter them. And that is what Mahabharata war was all about. So two things Krishna has achieved by this Rajasuyam sacrifice. The pleasure of Yudhishthira Maharaj on the one side, and also the plan, the execution, the plan for the future, for killing the rest of the demoniac kings who were engaged in giving pain to the devotees and to other great sages. So all these things were taken into account when Krishna allowed this Rajasuyam to take place. So after this Rajasuyam sacrifice, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are few more important pastimes, very important pastimes. There are a few more, but there is not many now, because almost we are close to the 75th chapter, and totally there are 90 chapters in the 10th canto. From now on, particularly, the very important pastimes are the one where Sukadeva Goswami decided to talk about Sudama's story, Sudama Charitam, as it is referred to in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Sudama story is significant in the Srimad Bhagavatam. When we discuss that, we will mention why it is such a significant story in the Bhagavatam. And normally people see that Sudama's story is a story where Sudama was given a lot of wealth by Krishna. But that is not the only story behind wealth. Is one side, but wealth was not the whole thing. From the Srimad Bhagavatam point of view, there is a very, very important message through the story of Sudama's life and Sudama's devotion to Krishna. So Sudama Charitam is another important story after this. After that, we have another important story in the Bhagavatam, which is also a very amusing story. Arjuna abducting Subhadra, Krishna's sister. Subhadra Haranam, it is called. And that story of abducting, or you can say kidnapping Subhadra from Dwaraka and taking Subhadra to Indraprastham without Lord Balaram's permission, and the whole thing was masterminded by Krishna and Satyabhama, together. All that story comes in that important pastime of Subhadraharanam. Parikshit Maharaj specifically wanted to hear this. Although, you have to remember, by this time, Parikshit Maharaj heard Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days. That was the time that was given to him for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. In 7 days' time, Sukadeva Goswami started from the first canto and now is almost coming to the very end of 10th canto, which means he was more or less on the 6th day. And you can see how the Parikshit Maharaj mind was getting closer and closer to Krishna. That after so far different incarnations, Parikshit heard about different incarnations of Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj heard about also Lord Ramachandra and Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. But as soon as the 10th canto started, Parikshit Maharaj's mind was getting very focused on Krishna. He only wanted to hear about Krishna. And in middle, there was some reference to Lord Balaram also. But quickly, Parikshit Maharaj takes Sri Sukadeva Goswami back to Krishna again. All these things you will notice in the next few chapters. So Subhadra Haranam, or stealing of Subhadra from Dwaraka, that's another important story which comes after the Sudama story. And then after that, we have got a few more important topics. One, the personified Vedas coming to glorify Krishna. Shruti Gita, it is called a Shruti Gita. Shruti Gita means the personified Vedas. Vedas are Vedas, personified form, they come and offer their prayers to Krishna in order to establish the fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in order to establish that, Shruti Gita prayers will see how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's established by this great personified form of the Vedic literature. And then we have got another two more important pastimes. The story of Vrikasura. Vrikasura's story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. A very important pastime and many, many important messages as well from that. And then later on, there is the final story in the Srimad Bhagavatam on the 10th canto, which is the Santana Gopalam. In other words, the Brahmana who lost his children and Krishna brought them back from Sudalam, Mahabali's planet, from Vaikuntha, from Mahavishnu, he brought them back and handed them over to the Brahmana. So these few important pastimes comes after this particular pastime of Rajasuyam. And with that, 90 chapters finishes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then Ekadasa Skandam begins. So the difference is that the 10th canto is the pastimes of Krishna. The 11th canto is Krishna's instructions to this world prior to his departure from here. So all these 10th, 11th and 12th, the three cantos in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is completely focused on Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In order to establish that, Sudeva Goswami spent almost from the 6th and 7th day completely to speak to Parikshit about the importance of these three cantos. And you will see that how important it is these three cantos are. When the 10th canto talks about Krishna and Krishna's activities in this world, the 11th canto will tell you that what is the thoughtful nature of Krishna's personality, Krishna presenting to the world the higher understanding on the purpose of life and the process of going back to Krishna. Out of compassion, out of causeless mercy to the people, Krishna left behind this important message in the Ekadasa Skandam, in the 11th canto. And then later on, in the 12th canto, we find that in essence, in general, there is a summary of the various dynasties who rule this planet after Krishna's departure from here. And then subsequently, the some of the pastimes of a great personality called Markandeya Rishi. Why Markandeya Rishi is included there is, Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the important Puranas. There are 18 Puranas. And among the 18 Puranas, Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the most important Puranas, Mahabhagavatam or Mahapuranam it is referred to, which glorifies the Supreme Personality, Krishna. Now, all the Puranas there is an Acharya for all the Purana. And that Acharya is Markandeya Maharshi. So this Markandeya Maharshi you will find in different places is glorified for one reason. Purana Acharya he is. He is the Acharya of all the Puranas. So that pastime of Purana Acharya Markandeya Maharshi, Suda Goswami spoke about this to Shavinaga Rishi and others in the Naimisharanyam. And that is what you find in the 12th canto. That's one of the most important aspect of the Srimad Bhagavatam on the 12th canto. There is also a summary of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam you will find in the 12th chapter of the 12th canto. Why that has been presented there? Because there is a reason behind all these things. The great, great sages who have masterminded or who have actually planned to compile the Vedic literature, they knew that in this age of Kali, people who are coming later on and who will read Srimad Bhagavatam, they knew our weaknesses. They knew our weaknesses, how strong we are, what our capacity is, and what our strength and what our weaknesses are. Knowing all these things, the sages decided that after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam continuously, one should hear Bhagavatam all the time, 24 hours. That is the injunction. It's like that. Continuously one should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Shrunvadam sukatha Krishna punya shravana kirtanam. If you hear about Krishna all the time, punya shravana kirtanam, then hridyandastohi abhadrani vidhunodi suhrut sadam. If you hear continuously about Krishna, what will happen is hridyandastohi abhadrani, everything that is inauspicious in our heart will go from there. Hridyandastohi abhadrani vidhunodi suhrut sadam. That Krishna is your friend. Everyone's friend is Krishna. He is situated within everyone's heart as the super soul. Because we have lost that connection with Krishna under the influence of the Maya, we have been compelled to act in this world in different ways. But as soon as that relationship is established with Krishna, automatically we turn inwards again back to Krishna. It is Krishna whom we have forgotten. And that forgetfulness that has come to us, that has to be changed. And that requires a constant meditation on Krishna. And therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find Shrunvadam sakatha Krishna punya shravana kirtanam hridyandastohi abhadrani vidhunodi suhrut sadam nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloge bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. If you hear continuously about Krishna, what will happen is nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu, all the abhadram, all the inauspicious things from the heart will go away. Nityam bhagavata sevaya, continuously every day reading Srimad Bhagavatam, every day listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavati uttama shloge bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. The result will be that inside one's own heart, uttama shloge bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Uttama shloge is Krishna. That to Krishna, the devotion will come in the heart. Automatically, it will come. So, that is the message in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the very beginning itself. So, in order that to happen, one has to hear Bhagavatam continuously. Bhagavatam one should hear continuously. There are instances people think that it may not be so important to hear the verses spoken by Sudeva Goswami. Actually, they are more important than hearing anything else. The things that has been spoken by others has got limited potency. But the potency in the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam is much higher. Because these verses were spoken 5,000 years ago. Sudeva Goswami spoke them to Parikshit Maharaj. And they survived, stayed in this planet because it was Krishna's desire that it should stay here. Not only that it stayed in this world, for many, many generations after that, they came and read these verses of Sudeva Goswami. From that, they have understood the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Not only they understood the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, They perfected their lives by hearing these verses of Sudeva Goswami. That is why it is so important to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, as far as the hearing process is concerned, there are references in other Puranas also how one should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Because most of the people normally who are not used to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, they take the essence of the hearing process according to their capacity. According to their capacity, one hears Srimad Bhagavatam. In this Skanda Puranam, or one of the great Puranas, which has over 100,000 verses, and this Skanda Puranam is where there is a great reference to Srimad Bhagavatam. There are two Puranams among the Mahapuranams, Skanda Puranam and Padma Puranam. It is in these two Puranas, the glory of Bhagavatam is mentioned. Srimad Bhagavatam's glory is mentioned in these two Puranams. Out of that, generally, mostly people read these six chapters in the Padma Puranam, which is the glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. And there are a few chapters similarly in the Skanda Puranam also. But in the Skanda Puranam, there is more reference to about speaking and listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. That is important because these things help us to understand what our weaknesses are and where we are falling down in our seriousness of listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam has been spoken about Krishna, and one has to have such a serious mind and serious mood while listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's on that basis, in the Skanda Puranam, there is reference to the listeners. What is the type of listener, what one is. And not only that, it has classified the listeners into 8 different categories. That is how many times that's been classified. How many types of listeners are there of Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you hear, you will find that they have classified 4 categories as good listeners and 4 of them as bad listeners. It's done in the Puranams, it is there. So you have to accept that Vedavyasa Maharshi knew what our nature will be in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is such an age that most of the people have a lot of difficulties in executing spiritual life due to the particular nature of the age and also our own lack of strength, spiritual strength in us. We are very strongly absorbed in our body and bodily identification. Because of all this, the sages knew this, so they thought better to tell us what our understanding is on these things. When Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken to Parikshit Maharaj, when Sudeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit, Parikshit Maharaj did not take food or drink or sleep for 7 days. That was Parikshit's way of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So from there you can see that how serious Parikshit was, how serious one could be if one wants to be to that stage. But because we don't have that capacity to do that, our mind, our strength of mind, even after an hour, we find it difficult to sit. We want to get up and go for a walk. So that's our situation. And Parikshit had 7 days to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the Skanda Puranam it says there, the 4 good categories, what we'll talk about first, how they are like. And why they have been classified into 4, because by nature we are all different. Everyone is different. That you can notice all the time, how our nature changes from individuals. It is individual nature according to their own mind and circumstances and whatever it is. So therefore, in the Skanda Puranam it says there that the 4 categories of good listeners, they are classified as, the first one is classified as the all of them are referring to some birds or animals. That is also important because it seems that the sages have scrutinized and studied these animals and birds very carefully and noticed their characteristics, what their nature is. And different animals' nature is present in us also. After all, we have also gone through that, and that's how we got here, isn't it? So we have not completely left that nature, what we have picked up there. It is still with us to some degree. And that will now and then will come out from us as and when it's necessary. So because of all that, you will find when the Vedas, when the sages analyzed our nature, the human nature, they have decided to take these and birds and animals into account and their characteristics and impose that on us and tell us that this person is like that, in that way listens to Bhagavatam. So that is how it is mentioned there. So there is a bird called crane, which is, every one of you know that, this crane, Chakoram it is called in Sanskrit, in English I think it's called crane. This crane has a nature. When it will not drink any water from anywhere, that is one of the beauty of this bird, crane. What it does is, it sits there and keeps its mouth wide open, completely open. It sits and looks into the sky and keeps its mouth wide open. So it will only take the rainwater before it touches the ground. That is how much particular the crane bird is while drinking water. Once the rain water touches the ground, the crane says it's not pure anymore for the bird to drink. So from the lakes or from the wells or from the, obviously not the tap water, he won't drink. Definitely. That is the last one, what anybody will take it. So nor the lake water, nor the river, nor anything else, only the water from the sky the crane will accept. And the sages are saying in the Skanda Puranam, Vedavyasa is saying there, those personalities who hear Srimad Bhagavatam exactly like a crane bird are there. Why? They will only keep their mouth open to hear about Krishna, nothing else. They don't want to hear anything else in the Srimad Bhagavatam except about Krishna. That is one nature of that, the nature like the crane. Those people, those devotees or those personalities who hear about Krishna in that way, they are compared to these birds like the crane. So you will see this, that when someone reads the Srimad Bhagavatam for a very, very long time, and when one goes to hear Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken somewhere, the nature of the listener can change. They will develop different characteristics in them. So they are the crane type of birds. So crane bird only wants Krishna, nothing else. From Srimad Bhagavatam, that devotee has understood the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna, nothing else. Srimad Bhagavadakhyoyam pratyaksha Krishna mevahi. Krishna is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. There is nothing else to understand from Bhagavatam. Everything else has been spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam to bring us to the point of understanding Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's all. That is the only goal of all Srimad Bhagavatam. So the crane has already understood that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the only business the crane has is to simply hear about Krishna all the time. Muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukaham. That in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, what does Vedavyasa say? Vedavyasa says there that pipada bhagavadam rasama alayam. Alaya pipadam, pipadam alaya, pipadam alaya. Again, again, drink this nectar. Rasam pipada, keep saying like this. Muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukaham. That you become intoxicated with Krishna by studying Srimad Bhagavatam. That is what Vedavyasa is saying. That he doesn't say that just read Srimad Bhagavatam so that I can get rid of all my sinful reaction. Don't read Srimad Bhagavatam like that, he says. If that is the intention, read something else, he says. But if you are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, the purpose is Muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukaha. That read Bhagavatam in such a way that you become intoxicated with Krishna. Muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukaha. That is the goal of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this bird, crane, is capable of extracting that from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there are devotees like that who are compared to that. So that is one category. The second category of devotees who hear Srimad Bhagavatam, they are compared to Hamsam. Hamsam is swan. In the English you call it swan. So why this specific reference given to this bird, the swan? Because it has got a capacity. If you mix milk and water together and offer it to this swan, there is something on its beak which allows to separate the milk and the water from a mixture. That no one else has got that capacity. So this particular bird is a devotee who is of that nature, when he hears Srimad Bhagavatam, he will know how to take the essence from Bhagavatam. That is a great technique of knowing what to take from Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam talks a lot of things. History of so many great personalities, great, great devotees in the Bhagavatam. So many great things are spoken in the Bhagavatam. The knowledge is there in the Bhagavatam. Renunciation is there in the Bhagavatam. Devotion is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti, Jnana, Vairagyam, all three are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So how to extract it out from Srimad Bhagavatam, that is known to this swan-like devotees, who knows how to take the essence from everything, take the essence of the scripture. That is important, because it is not possible to understand everything, all the scriptures and all the messages in the world. But Srimad Bhagavatam, if one understands in that way, that is important, because from there you have also got the message what is to be understood from Srimad Bhagavatam. So these devotees who are like the swan, they have this capacity to separate the milk and the water. And similarly, they have the capacity to get the essence from Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a third category of the devotees. There is a third category of the devotees who are compared to like the parrots. Like we say, why parrots? Because the parrots have got, if you know, the parrots are Shugam is a parrot. Parrot has got this capacity. Whatever it has heard from somewhere about from Srimad Bhagavatam, it will be able to repeat that without any fault. It will develop that quality, that capacity. There are some devotees who hear Srimad Bhagavatam and they will keep that in their mind. They will never forget it. In other words, the powerful memory of to hold everything in their head is so good. Then that is, it's a great benefit that if one can hold everything, what one hears. Normally, they say that whatever you hear, if you can keep 10% within your head, you should be considered very fortunate. That's, in the Kali Yuga, it is like that. 10% is the maximum what you can hold in your head. Because often you hear something. When you hear something, it's not just hear something what you heard, but you have to reflect on what you heard. And from that, some deeper understanding has to come. So, quite possibly that it is that we hear sometimes, and sometimes we misunderstand things, which we have discussed before. Why does that happen? Because of the different modes of nature in us. We have all different modes of nature. When you have different modes of nature, although the speaker meant something, when you have heard that, you understood something else according to one's own modes of nature. So therefore, various problems comes, and during the hearing process also, it is quite likely that you have stayed there. You heard Srimad Bhagavatam, but the mind was somewhere else. So this can all happen during the hearing process. So many things happens during the hearing process. It is possible that you heard Bhagavatam, you sat here or you attended somewhere where Bhagavatam was spoken. You sat there and listened to it, but the whole time the mind was somewhere else, either at the workplace or at home or somewhere else. So this can all happen in one's life. And because after all, we are human beings. We have only that capacity to handle things in our mind. We have limited capacity to do much. In our intelligence is very limited, and the capacity of the mind is also limited. Plus all the modes of nature is also giving us a lot of problems. So because of all these things, our hearing ability is very limited. But a parrot-like devotee who has heard carefully and listened to it properly, he'll be at least able to reproduce what he heard and be able to present it to others equally in a convincing way of the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is another third category mentioned in the Skanda Puranam. The fourth and the last good listener is that personality is considered to be a fish-like devotee. What is the nature of this fish? If you observe the fish in the water, what normally it does is, when the fish is moving around, if you closely observe, you will see that the fish has got the capacity not to bother too much about what goes on above the water. It doesn't care too much. Inside the water, what goes on, that's what it is bothered about. In other words, the fish nature is always to be absorbed in what it is doing and completely focused on it, not to care too much. For example, when someone sits to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, if the mind is absorbed elsewhere, what's happening at home, or what's happening at the office, or what's happening at somewhere else, then that hearing will not be very effective. So therefore, devotees who are like fish, who while going around inside the water, underneath the water, it is completely focused on its activity and is able to take what is necessary from while absorbed in that watery situation or water-like condition. So these four categories are mentioned in the Skanda Puranam as good listeners. They are called as pravaras, as mentioned in the Bhagavad, in the Skanda. So these four categories are important. And if one can develop any of the four, it is good. Any of the four, it is good. The intention of saying all this is thing, we can relate with these different living entities easily. Like the fish, the swan, the parrot, and as well as the crane. They are all living entities in this world who have got nature which is particularly worthwhile to study about and to learn from them. For a personality who is trying to advance spiritually in this world, all the instructions are given here itself in this world. It is what we lack is this observation, power of observation. We don't observe anything. We ignore, because our mind is too absorbed or too preoccupied with other things related to our body. And therefore, we forget that there are other living entities in this world from where also we could learn something. Normally, we don't have any time for any such thing because of the way we live in this world. How many of us have got such a close relationship with the other living entities in this world? Everything we have to see in the television, only that how much we can accept. After that, rest of it, it exists, we know, but somebody shows us a movie about the African safari or the how the animals are captured. That is what we enjoy. But we don't have any relationship with these other living entities. They are also a part of an integral part of this creation, Krishna's creation. And in them, Krishna has infected them with certain capacity. Different things, what we don't have, they have got. Like, for example, if you look at this way, that we have certain powers given to us. And Krishna has given certain powers to other living entities also. Take, for example, the birds. The bird is given a capacity to fly. They have been given the wings. They have no fear of flying, have they? Whereas for us, the flying itself is a fearful thing sometimes. Although we have developed all this machinery, they manufactured all these airplanes and everything, and it depends on the fuel what you can supply so that it can fly, and under certain conditions it can fly. But Krishna has already shown to us that among his creation, many of these birds can fly at very, very, very high distances, long distances and very high altitude also. They can do that. There is nothing required. We are amazed by our technology. But don't you get amazed by Krishna's technology, how it works. We don't think about it. We take it for granted all the time. All these living entities have got their capacity in different ways. For example, there is a story about just like eagle, for example. You take this bird eagle. It can go to a few miles high. It can fly at such a high altitude. It flies. And when it's flying at such high altitude, it is still seeing the ground, what is lying on the ground. It can see from there. Therefore, in the Shastram, you will find there is a word called Gradhradrishti. Gradhradrishti means one who has got such a strong vision, like an eagle. It's mentioned like that, Gradhradrishti. Jadayu was an eagle. Sambhaji was an eagle. In the Ramayanam, you will find these two great personalities. They have referred to for this reason. And they have not only the capacity that they can recognize the living entities in this dead bodies lying here and there. They will see from such a height and they can come and take their food from here. So that potency is given to them by Krishna. Krishna has given them these potencies. So all these living entities are in some way or the other teaching us different lessons. In fact, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when the 24 spiritual masters are mentioned there, by where Dattatreya Maharshi goes to learn about the different things what he learned from this material world, he mentions there also, Bhumi rapanalo vayu khammano buddhire vaja ahangarami alpa bhumi rapanalo vayu That is in the Bhagavad Gita. In Srimad Bhagavatam it says, Prithvi Vayur Agasham Aba Agni Chandrama and Ravi Kapodam Ajagara Sindhu Patanga Madhuralpaja Madhuha Harino Meena Pingala Kuraram Arthaga Kumari Sharaval Sarpam Urna Nabhi Subeshakral. 24 listed there. And if you look, you will find, except 2 or 3, the rest of them are all animals and birds mentioned there. And 5 major material elements. So they found something valuable in all that. We do not find anything valuable in them. We just think that is this earth, water, air, ether. What is there to learn from them? We just ignore them. We walk on the earth. We do everything what we can to destroy them as much as possible. Earth, water, air, ether and fire. Or from all of them, here Dattatreya Maharshi is learning different things from them. So how come they were able to learn and we were not able to learn? Because our observation power is like that. We haven't got the capacity, we haven't developed our intelligence in that way, what we should learn from other living entities. Krishna has given us everything here in this world to observe, to study. But due to our preoccupied mind, which is busy in the absorbed in the body, does not allow us to learn anything from them. So whatever it is, coming back to this, 4 good ones I mentioned. Now I'll mention about the 4 bad ones. Bad ones means bad listeners. That's all. Not that they are bad people, but bad listeners. So, generally, due to our own association with the modes of nature, we develop certain qualities. So the first type that is referred to in this Skanda Puranam of a listener is considered to be a wolf. A listener who is like a wolf. Not that he is a wolf, he is like a wolf. And the nature of the wolf is like this. When while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, this wolf will make all kinds of noises. And different kinds, he will talk, he will disturb everybody who is sitting next to each other. Not only that, he will get up, walk out, come in, go out again. All this is of that wolf-like nature. And it is something specific to Kali Yuga. This was not there in the olden days. At least, and then 50 years ago, I knew this didn't exist. Because those who heard Srimad Bhagavatam 40, 50 years ago from great speakers, it was considered to be an extremely serious offense to do that, to do such a thing. Because Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not speaker and listener that's important. We are talking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And when you are talking about Krishna, if it becomes so casual that you can't even tolerate or control your mind and body senses to that extent that you could sit and listen seriously, what possibility is there of realizing Krishna? Imagine that. That it is easy to say that nowadays you come for Bhagavatam classes, you see sometime downstairs, in, out, all the time. Somebody is, oh, he can speak, I have my own business to do. This is the attitude. Why has this happened? Because this is the wolf nature. The nature of the wolf. Wolf does not understand what is being discussed, does he? Wolf just comes, thinks what he has got to do, he does it and he goes. That's the wolf mentality. So the wolf nature is such, he does not care that what is discussed is about Krishna. One has to be serious about it. And one cannot afford to be offensive. If one cannot go there, at least better not to go, rather than create, disturb other people who are listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, because of this nature, it is considered that a wolf is one of the wolf-like devotee, we'll call it like that. A wolf-like devotee is a little troublesome person. So such a person should try to change that nature in him. Because these are good things. It is not, I am not speculating, these are in the Puranams. It is the sages have spoken these things. And they did not have to teach these things in the early days. In the early days, all these things were never taught. Because when people came to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, they knew it is a serious business. And when they came with that proper understanding. It is as much as like seeing the deity at the temple. That is the same, how you feel respectful to Krishna when you go inside the temple. But even there now requires, people have to be told how to go into the temple room. So, but still, naturally people have a natural tendency to be respectful to Krishna or to the deity when they enter into the temple room. So similarly, while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam also, one should cultivate that habit and not like the wolf-like nature. So that is the first category mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then there is a second category. There is a type of bird present in the Himalaya mountains. And apparently these birds are not seen elsewhere. And because obviously why they have taken that bird, I can only imagine why, because all these sages were living in Himalayas, weren't they? So naturally their thinking will be more related to what they were observing there in the mountains, in the Himalayas. Sudeva Goswami, Vedavyas, Srinarada Maharshi, Vasishtha, all these great personalities, they all come from there. They live in Himalayas. Most of the time they lived there. Their places where they performed their austerities and penances, that is all in the Himalayas. So because of that, their observation there was very, very strong. So some of them, one of these birds, what they have picked up from there is a bird called Bhurundi. I don't know the English word for that bird. I have tried to find out, but I couldn't find it anywhere else. So it may be there, but I do not know what it is. It's mentioned in the Shastram as Bhurundi. Now, the speciality of this bird is, those who go to Himalayas apparently will find that if you speak something, if you make any noise yourself, or any other noise if you hear in the nature, this bird will repeat it in the same way. It is a speciality of that bird. It can repeat what it has heard in the same way. It will make the same noise. So there are devotees, Skandapuranam says like this, those who hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and when they hear it, they will only repeat it in that way, but they won't understand it. The bird's nature is like that. It will repeat, just the sound it will repeat. It won't understand the message. It doesn't have that intelligence to understand the essence of all this, what is spoken. But it will repeat like this particular bird. He will learn everything, he will understand, but it hasn't got sunk in inside, into the consciousness. Otherwise, he will just repeat it, what he has heard. So, therefore, that particular bird is used as an example for that. Different nature of the different living entities. And same thing with the devotees also. That devotees have to become serious. Not only serious, become thoughtful. And also very very much absorbed in analyzing what Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us. So many important things are spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly in the Ekadasha Skandam. Ekadasha Skandam is very, very hard to understand. And the commentaries on Bhagavatam, if you read Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on Ekadasham, Sridhar Swami's commentary on Ekadasham, all this if you read, that there were not even many great acharyas who could handle Ekadasham easily. It is so difficult part of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the highest transcendental understanding Krishna has left behind in this world, while during his, before his departure from here. And on the other hand, this is the topic which is very dear to Krishna. Krishna wants to hear from the devotees Ekadasham. One reason only, that Krishna wants to know how much you have understood what Krishna has spoken, number one. Number two, while hearing these verses from the Ekadasha Skandam, memories goes back in Krishna's mind also, when he spoke about that to Uddhava. Because if you look throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find one thing, that all the first 10 cantos, there is not much Krishna has spoken. It's all about Krishna's activities, Krishna's pastimes, what Sukadeva Goswami has spoken to Parikshit Maharaj. That's what you find. But when you come to 11th canto, it's completely Krishna alone. Nobody else is speaking there. Sri Bhagavan Uvaja, from beginning 26 chapters, 1036 verses, Krishna alone is speaking, no one else is speaking there. With few questions from Uddhava. 21 questions Uddhava has asked and Krishna has answered them. So this Ekadasha Skandam, which is actually a continuation of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke to Arjuna in Kurukshetra. And at that point, Krishna realized that in battlefield, there was no possibility of going into details as much as Krishna wanted to. So, already after Bhagavad Gita was left behind with Arjuna. Let Arjuna do what he is to be done. So Arjuna used Bhagavad Gita, and Bhagavad Gita inspired Arjuna to fight, and the purpose was served with that. So therefore, through Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gave to this world the preliminary understanding of the science of Krishna consciousness. Or in other words, what one should do in one's life, that is answered in the Bhagavad Gita. What one should do in one's life. In other words, one understands who is Krishna. When we understand that, naturally, Krishna also gives us the understanding what a living entity should do in this world. Everyone in this world is looking for knowledge. That's what we all want, because in ignorance we do so many different things. And in order to come out of it and to understand the purpose of life, Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Having understood that, Krishna tells us how to achieve there, how to get there, the goal. What is the ultimate goal of life? That is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, and to some extent the process also. But when Uddhava asked Krishna that how do I reach that goal, and Krishna in detail explained the 11th canto of Ekadasi Skandam to Uddhava. So through Bhagavad Gita and Ekadasi Skandam, Krishna has given everything what one wants to understand in the spiritual life. There is nothing else to know after that. Everything is there. So, but because it is like that, Ekadasi Skandam is, in Shastram it is called as very Gahanam. Gahanam means deeper thing to understand. Unless one has the very, very deep understanding, or one will not understand it fully. And many times when Krishna has asked the devotees to speak about Srimad Bhagavatam, when they came to the 11th canto, Krishna has become much more serious listener about it, to make sure that he has not misunderstood or made any mistakes about it. So that's my side. But coming back to the four different categories, we have talked about the wolf, and we have talked about this bird Bhurundi in the Himalayas. There is two more categories there mentioned in the Skanda Puranam. The third one is considered to be like a bull. Why it is like a bull? Because for the bull, normally, if you give now first-class mangoes, and if you give hay, it will eat both in the same time. It will keep chewing and chewing the mango as well as the hay. Same time, it will keep taking everything. In other words, it will accept everything without any discrimination. That is the problem with this bull, because it doesn't know anything. What is better? Why mango is better than the hay? It does not have that discrimination in them. So sometimes you will find the devotees, they are also reading Srimad Bhagavatam and also other Vedic literature in the same sense, I suppose, that when they read, they will catch hold of things which are not important. They will take to some silly things and start arguing on that. This is not clear to me. They do not know how to reject things and what things to accept. So that sense of discrimination is lacking sometimes in devotees also. All of us, we all have that difficulty sometimes. The lack of discrimination in taking what is important, what's not important. For example, I can give you will also might have thought about it different times. Sometimes in the Puranams you'll find there's a lot of things discussed about a war. So the war is happening. And then they want to know that how the chariot was running. Was it diesel powered or electric powered? How does it matter? That there are so many things what we don't understand. And they will look at from their point of view and start seeing things that how did that work out in the Mahabharata war? How did that happen? And things what they will ask will have no significance. They will not be interested in Bhagavad Gita or anything important what was discussed in the Mahabharata war. They will be more concerned about how the war was fought and different arrows or weapons that was fired and how these weapons did work and why Krishna didn't do anything about it. Why Bhishma didn't do anything about it? Could he not have answered in this way? If you ask all these questions, there is no answer to that. Now, this is that bull-like nature. Bull does not discriminate between the sweet first-class mangoes and the hay. It will keep chewing all the time. Anything and everything, it will chew. Chew, chew and chew. And it continuously chewing, and at the end nothing comes from that. What will come out of it? Nothing will come out of it. It will just go on like the time. Only thing, he has spent a lot of time listening, but nothing understood. Nothing has gone into the into the mind, into the consciousness, in other words. So that is the third category, the bull-like devotee. And the fourth one is referred to as the camel. Why it is referred to camel? In the Bhagavatam you will find, apparently the way this, all the great sages do this, Vedavyasa also says that in the beginning, you know, there is a very important word Srila Prabhupada used to talk about this. And it was, in the beginning when you heard that verse, everyone used to get struck, bit shocked by it, that Prabhupada has used that word. Shovidvara hoshtragarai samstuda purusha pashu nayal karna gadho vedam jadunama gada grajaham. Bhagavatam in the beginning, Sri Gurudeva Goswami says, Shovidvara hoshtragarai, hogs, dogs, camels and asses. Vedavyasa is categorizing us into four. And Prabhupada was saying this to so-called educated and polished gentlemen of the society. Shovidvara hoshtragarai, oh my dear hogs, dogs, camels and asses. He says like that. And everyone was struck with these words, because normally we don't want to be ungentlemanly or impolite while talking to people, even if they are in that category, we don't want to say to them like this, isn't it? But Srila Prabhupada was very open about it. Shovidvara hoshtragare. And then the next line is worse than that. Samstuda purusha pashu. An animal very nicely dressed up. That is the next word. Samstuda purusha pashu. Then nayal karna gadho bedam jadu nama gada grajaham. That if you have not heard about Krishna, all it is useless. It's just holes only what you have heard in your ears. It's just two holes exist there. And then the description of that four different categories. Shwava, Vidvaram, Hoshtam and Gharam. And there also this camel comes there. So camel is there in the beginning and camel is in the Skandapuranam. Everywhere camel is used as an example. Why camel? Shovidvara hoshtragarai samstuda purushat pashu nayal karna gadho vedam jadu nama gada grajaham. So camel is used here for one reason only. That the camel has got one specific characteristics. What is that? Camel tends to enjoy its own blood. While sometimes it mentions there that it eats the thorn from the forest, or from the thorn you find in the desert. It will eat that from the desert, and the blood will come out from its own mouth, and it is drinking that blood and enjoying it. Its own blood it's drinking, and it's enjoying it. So this nature of camel is present all the time in certain people. Why? Because sometimes what happens is, if you give something nice to the camel, it will reject. It won't eat that. It will just shake its head and say, I don't want it. And it has got such a long head also. It doesn't want to take it. Rather, it will go and take something like a neem leaves, which is bitter, hard to digest, hard to eat. It will go and bite something like that. Something which is very hard to eat and which is very painful, it will go and find pleasure there. So some people, some devotees who are like camels, they tend to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam in that way. The difficult things they will catch hold of in the Bhagavatam. Most difficult thing. For example, Shruti Gita. Shruti Gita, which is the Veda's personified prayers to Krishna, is a very, very difficult chapter to discuss. Because all the things that is discussed there, it is out of this world. And only the people who can talk about it is Sridharajaya Swamiji. He can speak about that. Then who else can speak? The four Kumaras can talk about it. Even sometimes you wonder, the way Sukadeva Goswami has presented to Parikshit Maharaj, he gives the impression that Sukadeva Goswami was not very particular, or Parikshit Maharaj even understanding that. It is such a hard subject in the Bhagavatam. So sometimes people will find particular interest in there. They want to understand that in depth. And that's sometimes difficult also, because of the knowledge, what is required to understand Shruti Gita is very, very higher. That only great sages who have gone through that path can understand that part of Srimad Bhagavatam. And there are other parts also in the Bhagavatam like that. So sometimes the camel-like person, when there is the beautiful childhood pastimes of Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, where Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj has relished it for a complete day talking about these childhood pastimes, He won't find any pleasure there. He'll say, oh, what is this, these childhood activities? I'm more interested in the impersonal Brahman, which is discussed in the Shuddhagita to some extent, and I want to point about that. That's the way the mind will go. So the camel-like nature is like that, that will find pleasure in things what it cannot, where else it cannot find happiness in elsewhere. So the four good ones and the four bad ones. So that is the way Skanda Puranam talks about the different kinds of listeners of Srimad Bhagavatam. In order to develop this proper nature of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, everyone who listens to Bhagavatam should understand that Krishna is present in the Srimad Bhagavatam. While talking about Bhagavatam, similarly while hearing about Srimad Bhagavatam, both things are to be taken very seriously, serious note of it. And therefore, on the strength of this, they have also divided the speaker and the listener into listeners into three categories. The best category, Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. Why is that? Because there is no better listener to Bhagavatam than Parikshit Maharaj. Why? Parikshit Maharaj was put on the spot, isn't it? He was told, you got 7 days to live in this world. What do you want to do? This question was put to Parikshit Maharaj. Therefore, what did he do? He realized that I got only 7 days time left in this world. So the right thing for me to do is not to care about what's going on in the rest of the world, about myself, what will happen to me. I'm concerned about that. So he decided to hear about Krishna completely and fully focused and fully intensely. He wanted to hear about Krishna. In other words, Parikshit Maharaj consciousness was the best to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. No attachment anywhere else. Didn't want to hear anything what was going on in this world. Simply about Krishna. That is the first category. At the same time, Sukadeva Goswami was the best speaker also. Why? Because only a personality like Sukadeva Goswami could guarantee Parikshit back home, back to God, a spiritual world in 7 days' time. The renunciation that was required, the knowledge and the devotion that was in Sukadeva Goswami is not seen anywhere else. That you will see why it is different than the others. Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Srimad Bhagavatam under instructions from Sri Narada Maharshi, isn't it? Sri Narada Maharshi spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. That is how Bhagavatam begins, isn't it? Vyasa Narada Samvadam, it is mentioned. Vedavyasa Maharshi and Sri Narada Muni talking to each other. So that is how Srimad Bhagavatam begins. So there you will find that they have been given a second position compared to Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. What is the reason for that? The reason is Vedavyas felt unhappy. Why? By seeing the condition of the people in the age of Kali, isn't it? That is how Srimad Bhagavatam has come about. Vedavyasa Maharshi was sitting in Shamya Prasam in Badrinath, where near where his ashram was, and sitting there, Vedavyasa was reflecting on his own literature, what he has compiled so far. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, all this is mentioned, and then some point he started feeling a little unhappiness because he realized that I still have not done what is meant to be done, that is glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Why did this distress come to him? Because he realized that I have not spoken about him and that is the cause of my distress. And what will the people in the age of Kali will do without Srimad Bhagavatam? These thoughts came to him. So in other words, in Vedavyasa's mind, he was concerned about the other people more than about himself. So according to the Acharyas, the Sridharacharya Swami says about this, like this way, Parikshit was on a higher platform than even Vedavyas. Because every one of us are actually, strictly speaking, all of us are on the firing line, isn't it? We are all on the firing line, ready to be shot any time. It's only a question of time. Only somebody was in the first
what someone else is later. That's so. Who is first and who is later? It's Krishna's decision. But all of us are on the line, standing there ready to be shot. And then we have to leave this world. So if you are totally absorbed about other living entities, rather about your own life, what is going to happen to you at the end, then that is not very good also. People will say to you, oh, I am preaching for others' benefit. So that will be the best thing to do. But from Krishna's point of view, you got only one life to do this. And in this one life, if you engage in preaching work, but at the same time not interested in your own spiritual advancement, that is also not a good thing. And therefore, Parikshit has been given a higher position than even... In other words, Vedavyasa Maharshi's mind was not so focused like Parikshit was. Parikshit was much more focused than Vedavyasa in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Parikshit has been given a superior position to Vedavyasa even in the case of Srimad Bhagavatam. Although Vedavyasa compiled Srimad Bhagavatam and taught to Sukadeva Goswami, and who spoke this to Parikshit Maharaj, still Parikshit is compared to be more qualified than Vedavyasa as far as Bhagavatam is concerned. That's number one. Now come back to Narada Maharshi's case. Narada Maharshi also, if you look into his own life in the beginning of Bhagavatam, you will find there that Srinarada Maharshi heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Lord Brahma. That was the origin of Srimad Bhagavatam, came to Narada Maharshi through from Lord Brahma, isn't it? That the three chapters in the early second canto, you'll find the very important chapters, how Brahma presented Srimad Bhagavatam to Srinarada Maharshi. Srinarada Maharshi heard Srimad Bhagavatam, but while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, you will notice one thing. Srinarada Maharshi had made certain, was not as good as the way Parikshit has heard. If you read carefully, you have to notice all these things in the Bhagavatam. They are very interesting things in the Bhagavatam. And as soon as you read it, you will notice this also. When Brahma presented Srimad Bhagavatam to Srinarada Maharshi, different incarnations were spoken first. Many all incarnations, I think 24 of them are mentioned there. Incarnations were mentioned. And ultimately, Brahma mentioned about Krishna also, saying that Supreme Personality Krishna has all these pastimes were referred to in that three chapters. You can read that. In one verse, different verses, different pastimes of Krishna was mentioned. But Brahma did not mention that pastime where he was chastised. He deliberately kept quiet about it. He didn't want to say this. Perhaps he has thought, after all, I'm talking to my son. If I tell my son this has happened to me, the father probably felt a little bit reluctance. You can imagine why. We all have the same problem, isn't it? At least in front of our children, we don't want to be in any way. So, it looks from there. Every other pastimes of Krishna is mentioned there, except this one particular pastime is not mentioned there. Okay, the speaker has made this mistake. Now, can you imagine how come the listener can make a mistake? The listener has also made a mistake. What was that? When all the pastimes were mentioned, even Srinarada Maharshi's testing of Krishna, that was also left out. So, speaker has made a mistake, the listener has also made a mistake. Sometimes it's like this. The speaker falls asleep while speaking. And the listener also falls asleep while listening. So both of them have forgotten, so some chapters have gone in that process. This can happen. Sometimes if you carefully look, reading Srimad Bhagavatam continuously, you will notice that some people are very seriously reading and they'll fall asleep. And after 5 or 10 minutes they'll wake up. And then they'll see, where are we now? They'll ask the question. So this will all happen because after all we are human beings and we have got all these problems in us. Our habits, way of life, our eating habits, our sleeping habits, our control on our mind, body, senses are very, very limited. We have got so many difficulties to do all these things. So, therefore, all these things are happening. But with little attention, you can see that in that conversation with Brahma and Narada Maharshi, although everything else has been covered, Srimad Bhagavatam was not taken in full, as it should have been mentioned. Because this story of Lord Brahma's, it is known as Brahma Vimohanam. In the Bhagavatam, it's called as Brahma Vimohanam. Or in other words, chastisement of Brahma by Krishna. It's a very important pastime. And the knowledge what Brahma has revealed there in that prayers of Lord Brahma is one of the top class prayers in the Bhagavatam. Why? Because bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam, all these three things are on the highest level in that prayers by Lord Brahma. How come Brahma has left out such an important topic while mentioning this to Sri Narada Maharshi? So the speaker has forgotten, the listener also slept. So if that happens, then what do you do? So because of these things, it's mentioned that Narada Maharshi was also not listening or speaking as best as Sri Shukana has spoken. Sudeva Goswami has spoken. So Narada Maharshi is not considered as good a speaker as Sudeva Goswami is. Perhaps that is the reason why when Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken in the assembly of the sages on the banks of the river Ganga River, when Parikshit Maharaj was giving up the body, Sri Narada Maharshi was present there. Vedavyas was present there. But Sukadeva Goswami was asked to speak. Although Sri Narada Maharshi taught Vedavyas Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedavyas taught Srimad Bhagavatam to Sukadeva Goswami. But it was Sukadeva Goswami who was asked to speak Srimad Bhagavatam on that day. So from there you can see that these different categories, how they have come about. So the first category is Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit. That is the ideal speaker and the ideal listener. And then the next category is Sri Narada Maharshi and Vedavyasa Maharshi. Both are great personalities, but from the point of view of speaking and listening, they are not the best like Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. Then after that, we have got the third category, which is Sudha Goswami and Shavanaka Rishi. Shavanaka Rishi came to Naimisharanyam. That is where Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken later. And when he came to Naimisharanyam, where he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, Sudha Goswami asked all the questions there. Isn't it? Sudha Goswami asked the questions. If you find the first canto, you will find the second chapter. So many questions Sudha Goswami is asking to Shavanaka Rishi. Now, this satram, what was known as satram. Satram means it's a great sacrifice which lasted over 1,000 years in Naimisharanyam. It's known as Brahma Satram. So in that sacrifice, all these questions were raised by Shavanaka Rishi. Shavanaka Rishi was representing the thousands of sages who were present there. And they were asking all these questions to Sudha Goswami. So when they were asking Sudha Goswami these questions, Sudha Goswami's answers begins. That is how Srimad Bhagavatam begins, isn't it? The number of questions, six major questions what he has asked, and the answers to that in different places. That is how the Bhagavatam has been spoken. So if you analyze those questions, you will find that the questions reflect the mind of Shavanaka Rishi. Shavanaka Rishi's mind, you can read through those questions. Generally speaking, most of the questions are with the interest to know that the why Krishna appeared in this world and why Balaram and what pastimes Krishna and Balaram has performed and what was the purpose of taking birth as Vasudeva and Devaki's son. Like that, some questions they have asked. And those are general questions. They haven't got that same strength of questions what Parikshit has fired at Sukadeva Goswami. Parikshit questions to Sukadeva. Shavanaka Rishi questions to Sudha Goswami. They are of a two different nature. That you can observe yourself. When you take Srimad Bhagavatam in the hand sometimes, you should start thinking all these things. Why? What is the difference between the two? And if you read through, you will see yourself that the questions what Parikshit was asking, a perfect listener and a person who was ready to go back to the spiritual world. That was the interesting thing behind it. No interest in this material world, what goes on here. What does it matter to Parikshit, what is going on here? His concern was, Tatshaka was coming, he is coming now, very closer, sixth day, he has already come. He has come there, and he is waiting there behind. And Sudeva Goswami was speaking, Parikshit was listening, and behind that Tatshaka was standing there. And Sudeva Goswami was observing that. Already on the sixth day he has observed that Tatshaka has arrived. So that's why at the end of 10th canto you will find observing the arrival of Tatshaka. Sudeva Goswami is saying to Parikshit, what more do you want to hear? Only the important things, because the time is limited. And knowing all these things, you can see that the speaker as well as the listener was so much absorbed in going back to the spiritual world, nothing else. There's no other interest after that to concern about. But Sudha and Shaunaga, when they talked about it in Naimisharanyam, Shaunaga Rishi's questions were such, they were of a nature which was important to us, all the new people who are coming to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sudha Goswami's way of presenting Srimad Bhagavatam is also not as significant as the way Sudeva Goswami has spoken. Because after all, Sudha Goswami has heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Sudeva Goswami. That is where he heard Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he came to Naimisharanyam to present Srimad Bhagavatam to the sages who were present there, where the sages headed by Shaunaga Rishi were executing this sutram. And there, in the discussions between Sutta and Shaunaga Rishi, is not of the standard what you would see between Parikshit and Sudeva Goswami. That you will or can observe when you read through the different parts of that presentation. So from different point of view, if you look at it, you will find all these interesting features of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is why it is mentioned, the speaker and the listener, when it is like Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, you can rest assured that one can go back home back to Krishna in 7 days' time. That is the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, coming back to where we stopped last week, Rajasuyam sacrifice. In Rajasuyam, what happened was, I mentioned before, but this Rajasuyam has stirred the mind of devotees. So many devotees. When they spoke to Krishna, they referred to this Rajasuyam sacrifice. One devotee asked Krishna once that at the end of Rajasuyam sacrifice, when Krishna was honored by Yudhishthira Maharaj, Vedavyasa Maharshi was handing over all the gold and clothes and other auspicious things to be offered to honor Krishna in the Agrasana Puja. Agrasana Puja means where Krishna was seated on the main seat and he was worshipped there by all the other who were present there. Accepting Krishna as the Supreme Lord, they worshipped him. So in that worship, Vedavyasa Maharshi was instructing Yudhishthira Maharaj to chant the mantras associated with this dhanam. Dhanam means this charity, what Yudhishthira Maharaj was performing. So while handing over the offerings to Krishna, Yudhishthira Maharaj's heart was actually he was experiencing such an ecstasy at that time that he was able to do this in his life, that he could honor Krishna in this way. You can imagine that Yudhishthira has been given this opportunity and he was feeling so much so affected by that he realized that Krishna has been too kind to him. Never he could imagine in his life that Krishna has allowed him to do this. Without Krishna's consent, this could not have happened. Rajasuyam could not have happened. And all those who came to visit the Rajasuya sacrifice, they all went back so happily because of the charity they have received and the good time they had for less than 2 years. And they lived comfortably and every day good feast and everything. So you can imagine how that has reflected on everyone who came there. No one had any complaint to say anything about it. So, because of all these things, At the very end, Rajaswayam sacrifice has made Yudhishthira Maharaj to feel so indebted to Krishna. He was feeling so indebted to Krishna, he did not know what to say. Tears were coming from his eyes when he was making all this offering to Krishna. And one devotee who noticed this asked Krishna this question, important question. Many instances you have received charity from the devotees. Isn't it? Many instances you will find Krishna has received charity. Charity means this devotee's offerings to Krishna. So, especially one important one is when Krishna came as Vamana Murti. Vamana appearance, isn't it? Vamana incarnation. Mahabali handed over. What did Mahabali hand over? Mahabali handed over, he was controlling the whole three planetary systems, isn't it? Not this planet alone, remember that. The three planetary systems were under Mahabali's control. And completely rejecting Shukracharya's instruction, Mahabali handed over all the three planetary systems to Krishna. If you remember that in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, this particular pastime of Vamanamurti's appearance comes, where Krishna received in charity as Brahmachari, Vamana Brahmachari, accepted this particular offering from Mahabali. And never in the history before any time such a charity has happened. Can anyone make a charity of all the three planetary systems? What to talk about three planetary systems? Even to offer one meal to 100 people we suffer in this world. This is our capacity today, isn't it? So this is something beyond our imagination, that Mahabali could offer all the three planetary systems to Krishna. So what did this devotee do? He took a balance and he put in one side Yudhishthira Maharaj's charity and the other one Mahabali's charity, and held it in front of Krishna like this and told Krishna to look at it. Krishna asked the devotee, which side is it going? So which one is heavier, charity? It went on to Yudhishthira Maharaj's side. In other words, Yudhishthira Maharaj's charity was such that emotions and feelings what Yudhishthira had, even Mahabali didn't have. That is how important that Rajasuyam was for Yudhishthira Maharaj. The acknowledging Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the loving devotion what Yudhishthira Maharaj has exhibited in that Rajasuyam sacrifice, even Mahabali could not meet that. You can remember, Mahabali has done the greatest offering, isn't it? Who else will do that? Rejecting Shukracharya's instructions completely, even knowing very well that he will have no kingdom to rule the next day, because he was told to go to Sutalam immediately by Vamanamurti, and he was asked to live in Sutalam, and Krishna has also given the guarantee to Mahabali that I will protect you in your life there. And after that, Krishna has also offered Mahabali the position of the head of the demigods as Indra in the next Manu's time. Mahabali will become Indra in the next Manu's time. So everything was offered to Mahabali in that. And Mahabali's charity is well known. There is no other bigger charity done in the history any time before. And even that Mahabali's charity weighed less than Yudhishthira's charity, what he has offered to Krishna. Why? Because here, how much Krishna was pleased with Yudhishthira, that is what is important. That is what makes everything different, isn't it? Say you want to please somebody, you go and give them a gift. It is not the gift that matters. It is how much that person is pleased with your gift. That's what it matters. Sometimes people offer Krishna so many things, and you think that, oh, I have offered an elephant, Krishna should be more pleased than someone else who offered a 10 pence in the hundi. Because I offered an elephant, it's cost lakhs and lakhs or hundreds and thousands of pounds to offer an elephant. It costs a lot of money. So, if you are going with that mentality, Krishna says, no, that's not what I'm looking at. After all, what can you offer to Krishna, who offers, who has millions and millions of universes under his control? Nothing you can offer to him. So, what you offer is not that what looks at. Krishna looks at the devotee's heart. What is inside? What is that love? How much love has he got? How much attachment he has for Krishna? That is what Krishna sees, not what is being offered to him, offered to Krishna. That's why, patram pushpam bhalam doyam, yome bhaktya prayachari, tadaham bhakti vahradam asnami, prairatmana. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that very clearly. When it comes to Sudama's story also, you will find the same verse coming there in the Bhagavad. So again and again, Krishna is repeatedly telling us that what he sees is the devotee's heart. What has he got in his mind to offer to me? So in this situation, what you will notice there is that Krishna apparently liked Yudhishthira Maharaj's offer much more than Mahabali's offer compared to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So like this, there are many, many things from Rajasuyam to talk about. Rajasuyam is an important pastime. So what I'll do now is, we'll read a few chapters, and then after that, we have to come back to this important topics in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Chapter 71. 10 canto, chapter 71. Shri Shuka Uvajam. Iti Vidhidamagarnya Devarshe Rudhavo Bravil Sabhyanam Madamanyaya Krishna Sejamahamadi Shri Uddhava Uvajam Yaduktam Srinadeva Sajivyam Yakshadasvaya Karyam Paidrishvase Yasirachaja Sharanaishinam Yashtavyam Rajasuyena Dichakrajaina Vibho Ato Jara Sudajaya Ubhayartho Madho Mamam Asmakam Jamahanartho Edena Iva Bhavishyadi Yashascha Tavago Vinda Rajyo Badhan Vimunjadaha Savai Durvishaho Raja Nagayuda Samo Beli Belinam Abhijayan Yesham Bhimam Samabalam Vinam Dvairathe Satujedavyo Mashada Akshauhini Yudaha Brahmani Abhyartido Viprai Na Pratyakhyadi Karhijil Brahma Veshadaro Gatva Tam Bhikshedav Vrgodaraha Hanishyadi Na Sandeho Dvairathe Tavasannidhaum Nimittam Paramishasya Vishwasarga Nirodhayoho Hiranyagarbha Sharvascha Kalasya Rubinastavam Gayandide Vishadagarma Graheshu Devyo Rajyam Sushatru Vadham Almavimokshanam Cha Gopyascha Kunjaravadher Janagalpajaya Pitroscha Labdha Sharana Munayovayam Cham Jara Sandhavada Krishna Buryartha Yobakalpade Praya Pagavipakena Tavachabhimadakradum Shri Shuka Uvacham Ityuddhavajo Rajan Sarvado Bhadramachudam Devarshirudhvrdhascha Krishnascha Pratyabhujayan Adhadishal Prayanaya Bhagavan Devaki Sudha Vrityan Daruvajai Tradin Anujnapya Guruvan Vibhum Nurgamayavarodhan Swan Sasudan Saparichadan Sangarshanam Anujnapya Yadurajam Jashatruhan Sudo Banidam Swaradham Aruhal Garudadvajam Tado Rajad Dipapadasanadi Padasadadinayagai Karalaya Paribhradam Atma Senaya Mridanga Bhiryanaga Shankha Gomukhai Prakosha Goshida Kogupo Nirakramal Nirvaji Ganjana Shibiga Abhirachudam Sahatmaja Padimanu Suvradayayu Varambara Bharana Vile Vanasraja Susamrada Nirbhirasi Charmapani Bhim Maroshtago Mahisha Karashodaryana Karenubi Parijanavara Yoshidaha Sonangrada Katakadikambalambara Ubaskara Yayurad Yujya Sarvadaha Belam Brihad Dvajapada Jatrajamarai Varayudha Bharanakiri Davarmabhi Divam Shubhi Sumularavam Bhavaurave Yadharnava Shubhida Timingalormibhi Adho Munirjadyubadina Sabhajidaha Pranamyanam Khridividadadyuhayasa Nishamidadvyavasidam Ahradarhano Mukunda Sandarshana Nurbhradendriyaha Raja Dodamuva Chedam Bhagavan Prinayangira Mabhaishta Dodabhadhyammo Khada Yeshyami Makhadam Ityukta Prasthido Dodo Yadavadavadan Nurban Tevi Sandarshanam Shauri Pratyakshan Yanmamukshavam Anartha Sauviramarum Tirtva Vinashanam Hari Girin Nadiradiyaya Puragrama Vrajagaran Tadu Drushanodim Tirtva Mukundhoda Saraswarim Panjala Anathamal Siamscha Shakra Prastham Adhagamal Tadu Vagadamagarnya Prido Durdarshanam Nranam Ajada Shatrur Niragal Sobhadhyaya Sukharul Vradaha Gila Vaditra Goshena Brahma Goshena Bhuyasa Abhayal Sakrishigesham Prano Prana Pranamivadridam Drishtva Viklinya Hridaya Krishnam Snehena Bandava Chiradrishtam Priyadamam Sasvajetha Punapunam Dorbhyam Parishwajjaramamalalayam Mukundagatram Nirbadir Hada Shubhaha Lephe Param Nurbhudimashulo Jano Krishya Tanurvismudaloga Vibhramaha Tammaduleyam Parirabhyam Nurbhudo Bhimasmayan Premajava Kulendriya Yamokiri Jasurtamam Muda Pravurthabashpa Parirephirechudam Arjunena Parishwakto Yamabhyam Abhivadida Brahmanibhyo Namaskritya Vridhebhyascha Yatharkadam Manido Manayamasa Kurisrunche Kaigayan Sudama Agadagandharva Vandinaschova Mandrina Vridanga Shankamadava Veena Panama Ghomakai Brahmanaschara Vindaksham Tushtuburnam Durujjagum Evam Sukhradvi Vairyasta Punya Shloka Shikhamani Samstuyamano Bhagavan Vivesha Alangradam Puram Samsikta Varmagarinam Madagandhanoye Chitradvajai Kanagadorana Purna Kumbhaihi Mrishtaltmabir Navadu Gula Vibhushan Astra Srakdandheyam Virjavadi Bhishya Virajamanam Uddipta Deepta Bele Vipradisatma Jalam Niriyadha Dumarajiram Vilasalpadagam Murdhanya Hemagalashai Rajadoru Shangai Jushtam Nadarshabhavanei Kuru Rajadamam Praptam Nishamya Naralojana Panapatra Maulsukya Vishladhida Kesha Dugula Bandaha Sadyo Visrujya Griha Karma Padim Shadalpe Drashtum Yayudyavadayasma Narendra Margayim Tasmin Susangulam Ivashuradadyodbhi Krishnam Sabharyam Ubalabhya Griha Adhirudha Aryo Vigirya Kusumair Manasoba Guhyam Suswagadam Vidadurul Smuyavikshidena Ujustriya Padhinirikshama Kundabatni Starayadho Yadodu Basahakimakaryam Obhi Yachakshusham Purusham Auli Udaraha Avaloga Kalayol Savam Athanodhi Tatra Trova Sangamyam Paura Mangalabanaya Chakrusa Bariyam Krishnaya Shreni Mukhya Hadainasam Andapura Janai Pritya Mukunda Fullalo Janai Sasambhramaya Bhivedam Pravishal Grajamandiram Prithavilokya Bradayam Krishnam Tribhuvaneshwaram Pridal Mothaya Bariyangal Sasnusha Parishaswajayam Govindam Brahmaniya Deva Devesha Madrada Pujayam Navidal Krityam Pramodopam Hadodrupa Pidushasur Guru Srinam Krishna's Chakre Bhivadanam Soyam Chakrishna Yarajan Bhaginya Chabivandida Shushra Samjodida Krishna Krishna Patnischa Sarvasha Anarchalakminim Satyam Bhadram Jambavadim Tada Kalindim Mitravindam Chashaibhyam Nagnajidim Sadim Anyas Chabhyagadaya Suvasa Srangmandanadhivi Sukham Vivasa Yamasa Dharma Rajo Janardhanam Sasainyam Sanugamatyam Sabharyam Navam Navam Tarpaitua Khandavena Vanim Bhalgunasam Yuda Mojaitua Mayamyena Rajne Divyasa Bhakrata Vasakadijinma San Rajna Prejagirshaya Viharan Rathamaruhya Bhalgunena Bhadair Vradaha ఇది శ్రీమద్ భాగవతే మహాపురాణే దశమస్కందే ఉత్తరార్ధే కృష్ణస్యేంద్ర ప్రస్థగమనం నామ ఏకసప్తతితమోధ్యాయ సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ ఏకదాదు సభా మధ్యే ఆస్తితో మనిభిర్వృత బ్రాహ్మణే క్షత్రియైర్వైశ్యే భ్రాతృభ్యశ్చ యుధిష్ఠిరాః ఆచార్యై కులవృద్ధైశ్చ జాతిజ్ఞాది సంబంధి బాంధవై శృణ్వతామేవ చైదేషా ఆభేష్య ఆభాష్యేద ఉవాచ యుధిష్ఠిర ఉవాచ క్రతురాజేన గోవింద రాజసూయేన భావని యక్షే విభూతిర్భవదస్త సంపాదయన ప్రభో తోల్పాదుగే అవిరణం పరియే చరంది ధ్యాయంది అభద్రనశని శుచయో గృణంది విందంది రే కమలనాభవర్గమాశాసదే యదిదమాశిషమీశ నాన్యే తదేవ దేవ భవదశ్చరణారవిందం సేవానుభావమిహ వైద్యదులోకమేష ఏ త్వాం భజంతి న భజంతి భోభయేషాం దృష్టాం ప్రదర్శయ విభో కురు సంజయానాం న బ్రహ్మణా సువరమేధమదిస్తవస్యాల్ సర్వాత్మనా సమదృశాసు సుఖానుభూతే సంసేవనాం సురధరోరివదే ప్రసాదం సేవానురూపముదయో న వివర్యయోత్రాం శ్రీ భగవాను వాజ సమ్యగ్ వ్యవసిదం రాజన్ భవదా శత్రుదర్శన కళ్యాణీయేన దే కీర్తిన్ లోకానను భవిష్యతి కృషీణాం పితృదేవానాం సుకృతాం అభిన ప్రభో సర్వేషాం అభిభూతానాం ఇప్సిత క్రతురాలయం విజిత్య ద్రుపదీం సర్వాన్ కృత్వా చ జగదీం వశే సంవృత్య సర్వసంభారాం ఆహర స్వమహాక్రతుం ఏదేదే భ్రాతరో రాజన్ లోకపాలాంశ సంభవ జిదోస్మి అల్పవదో దేహం దుర్జయో యో కృతాత్మభిః న కశ్చిన్ మత్పరం లోకే తేజసా యశసా శ్రియ విభూతిమిర్వాభిభవే దేవోపి కిము పార్థివా శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ నిశమ్య భగవద్గీతం ప్రీతముల్లముఖాంబుజ భ్రాతృన్ దిగ్విజయయుక్త విష్ణుదేజోపబ్రంహినాన్ సహ దేవం దక్షిణ స్యాల్ ఆదిశల్ సహ సంజయై దిశి ప్రదీచ్యాం నగులం ఉదీచ్యాం సవ్యసాచినాం ప్రాచ్యాం భృగోదరం మత్స్యై కేకయై సహమద్రగై తే విజిత్య నృపాన్ వీర ఆజహృద్యమోజస అజాల శత్రవే భూరి ద్రవిణం నృపయక్ష్యతే శ్రుత్వాజిదం జరాసంధం నృపదేర్ధ్యాయదో హరి అహో వాయం తమేవాధ్యాం ఉద్ధవోయమువాచ భీమసేనో అర్జున కృష్ణో బ్రహ్మలింగధరా స్త్రియాః జగ్ముర్గిరివ్రజం దాద బృహద్రథ సుతో యద తే గత్వాదిత్యవేళాయాం గృహేషు గృహమేధినం బ్రహ్మణ్యం సమయాచేరన్ రాజన్యా బ్రహ్మలింగిన రాజన్ విద్యతిథీన్ ప్రాప్తాన్ అర్థినో దూరమాగతాన్ తన్న ప్రయచ్చ భద్రం దేయద్వయం కామయామహే కిం దుర్మర్షం దిక్షూణాం కిమకార్యమసాధుమి కిం నదేయం వదాన్యానం కపర సమదర్శినాం యోని నిత్యేన శరీరేణ సదా జ్ఞేయం యశోధ్రువం నాజినోది స్వయం కల్పసవాచ్యం శోచ్యమేవ స హరిశ్చంద్రో రందినేవ ఉంచవృతి శిబిర్బలి వ్యాధ కపోదో బహవో అధ్రువేణ ధ్రువం గదాః శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ స్వరైరాకృతింస్తాంస్తు ప్రాగోష్ఠేర్జహదైరవి రాజన్యబంధూన్ విజ్ఞాయ దృష్టపూర్వాన చిందయల్ రాజన్యబంధవో హేది బ్రహ్మలింగాని విభ్రతి దదామి భిక్షితం దేభ్యం ఆత్మానమవి దుస్త్యజం బలేను శ్రూయతే కీర్తిర్ విదదాద్యుక్ష కల్మష ఐశ్వర్యాల్ బ్రంశిదస్యాపి విప్రవ్యాజేన విష్ణునా శ్రియం జగేషదేంద్రస్య విష్ణవే ద్విజరూపిణీ జానన్న విమహీం ప్రాద ఆర్యమాణో విదైత్యరాల్ జీవనా బ్రహ్మణార్థాయ కోన్వర్త క్షత్రబంధున దేహేన పదమానేన నేహదా విపులం యశాః ఇత్యుదారమది ప్రాహ కృష్ణార్జున మృగోదరాన్ హే విప్రా ప్రియదాం కామో దదామి ఆత్మశిరోభివా శ్రీ భగవాన్ వాజాం యుద్ధం నో దేహి రాజేంద్ర ద్వంద్వశో యది మన్యసే యుద్ధార్థినో వయం ప్రాప్త రాజన్యా నాన్నకాంక్షిణ అసో మృగోదర పార్థస్థస్య భ్రాతార్జునో హ్యయం అనయోర్మాతులేయం మాం కృష్ణం జానీహి తేరిపం ఏమావేదితో రాజా జహాసోచైస్మమాగద అహజామర్షిదో మంద యుద్ధం తర్హి దదామి వా నత్వయా భీరుణాయోల్సే యుధి విక్లవచేతస మధురాం సుబరీం త్యక్త్వా సముద్రం శరణం గదాః అయం ద్వయసాతుల్యో నాదిసత్వో నమే సమ అర్జునో నభవే యోధ భీమస్తుల్యబలో మమ ఇత్యుక్త్వా భీమసేనాయ ప్రాదాయ మహదీం గదాం ద్వితీయం స్వయమాదాయ నర్జగామపురాద్మహి తదస్సమే ఖలే వీరౌ సంయుక్తావిదరేదరౌ జగ్మదుర్వజగల్పాభ్యాం గదాభ్యాం రణదుర్మదౌ మండలాని విచిత్రాణి సవ్యం దక్షిణమే వజా చరదో శిశుభే యుద్ధం నటయోరివిరంగిణౌ తతశ్చడజడా శబ్దౌ వజ్రనిష్పేష సన్నిభ గదయో క్షిప్తయో రాజన్ దందయోరివ దందినౌ తే వైకదే భుజజవేన నివాత్యమానే అన్యోన్యతాం స നിർവിശേഷമൂൽ യുദ്ധം അക്ഷീണ ജവയോ നൃപ ഏവം തയോർ മഹാരാജ യുദ്ധ്യതോ സപ്തവിംശതി ദിനാനി നിരകം സത്ര സുഹൃദ്വന്നിഷതിഷ്ഠതോ ഏകദാമാതുലേയം വൈ പ്രഹരാജൻ മൃഗോദര നശക്തോഹം ജരാസന്ദം നിർജേദം യുധി മാധവ ശത്രോ ജന്മമൃതി വിദ്വാൻ ജീവിതം ജരാകൃതം പാർത്ഥമഭ്യായൻ സ്വേന തേജസാ ചിന്തയുദ്ധൈ സഞ്ചിന്യാരിവധോപായം ഭീമസ്യാമോഹദർശന ദർശയാമാസ വിടവം പാടയ നിവസഞ്ജയ തദ്വിജ്ഞായ മഹാസത്വോ ഭീമ പ്രഹരദാം വര ഗൃഹീത്വാ പാദയോ ശത്രും പാദയാമാസ ഭൂതലേ ഏകം ബാദർപദാ ക്രമ്യ ദോർഭിമന്യാം പ്രഗൃഹ്യസ ഗുദദ പാടയാമാസ ശാഖാമിയോ മഹാഗജാം ഏകബാദോരുവൃഷ്ണ കടിവൃഷ്ടസ്ഥനാം സകേ ഏഹബാഹ അക്ഷിഭ്രൂ കർണേശകലേ ദദുഷു പ്രജാ പ്രജാഃ ആഹാകാരോ മഹാനാസി നിഹദേ മഗദേശ്വരേ പൂജയാമാസുദുർഭീമം പരിരഭ്യ ജയാച്യുതൗ സഹദേവം തത്തനയം ഭഗവാൻ ഭൂതഭാവന അഭ്യഷിഞ്ചതമേ ആത്മാ മഹദാനാം പതിം പ്രഭു മോചയാമാസ രാജന്യൻ സംരുദ്ധാൻ മാഗദേ നയേ ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ ദശമസ്കന്ധേ ഉത്തരാർദ്ധേ ജരാസന്ധവതോ നാമ ദ്വിസപ്തതിതമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ശ്രീവത്സാംഗം ചതുർബാഹും പത്മഗർഭാരുണേക്ഷണം ചാരു പ്രസന്നവദനം സ്ഫുരൻ മകരകുണ്ഡലം പത്മഹസ്തം ഗദാശങ്കം രഥാംഗൈരുപലക്ഷിതം കിരീടഹാരകടകം കടിസൂത്രാംഗദാജിതം രാജദ്വരമണിഗ്രീവം നിമീതം വനമാലയ പിബന്ധമിവ ചക്ഷുർഭ്യം ലിഹന്തമിവ ജിഹ്വയ ജിഗ്രന്ഥമിവ നാസാഭ്യം രംഭന്തമിവ ബാഹുബി പ്രാണേമോഹതവാത്മാനോ മൂർധമിപ്പാദയോർഹരേ കൃഷ്ണസന്ദർശനാഹ്ലാദദ്വസ്ത സംരോധനക്ലമ പ്രശശം സുഹൃഷീകേശം കീർവിപ്രാഞ്ജലയോ നൃവ രാജാനൂജു നമസ്തേ ദേവദേവേശ പ്രപന്നാർത്തിഹരാവ്യയ പ്രപന്നാൻ ബാഹിന കൃഷ്ണ നിർവിന്നാൻ ഘോര സംസൃതേ നൈനം നാഥ അന്വസൂയാമോ മാഗതം മധുസൂദന അനുഗ്രഹോ യൽഭവതോ രാജ്ഞാം രാജ്യച്ചു നിർവിഭോ രാജ്യ ഐശ്വര്യമധോന്നോ നാശ്രയോ വിന്ദതേ നൃവ ത്വന്മായാ മോഹിതോ നിത്യമന്യതേ സമ്പദോ ചല മൃഗതൃഷ്ണാം യഥാ ബാലാമന്യന്തമുദകാശയം ഏവം വൈകാരികീം മായാമയുക്ത വസ്തുചക്ഷതേ വയം പുരാ ശ്രീമതനഷ്ടദൃഷ്ടയോ മതനഷ്ടദൃഷ്ടയോ ജിഗീഷയാസ്യ ഇതരേതര സ്പൃഥാം പ്രഭോ മൃത്യം പുരസ്ത്വാ വിഗണയ്യ ദുർമദ ത ഏവ കൃഷ്ണാദ്യ ഗഭീരരം ഹസ ദുരന്തവീര്യേണ വിചാലിതാശ്രയ കാലേന തന്വാ ഭവതോനുകമ്പയാ വിനഷ്ടദർപ്പാശരണോ സ്മരാമതേ അധോന രാജ്യം മൃഗതൃഷ്ണിരൂപിതം ദേഹേന ശശ്വൽ പദദാരുജാംഭുവ ഉപാസിതവ്യം സ്പൃഹയാ മഹേ വിഭോ ക്രിയാഫലം പ്രേത്യ ച കർണരോചനം തന്ന സമാധിശോഭായം ഏന ദേശരണാം ജയോ സ്മൃതിരഥാന വിരമേ അഭിസംസരദാമിഹ കൃഷ്ണായ വാസുദേവായ ഹരയേ പരമാത്മനെ പ്രണതക്ലേശനാശായ ഗോവിന്ദായ നമോ നമ ശ്രീശുകവാച സംസ്തൂയമാനോ ഭഗവാൻ രാജവിർമുക്തബന്ധനെ ആയാഹ കരുണസ്ഥാദശരണ്യാ ശ്ലേഷ്ണയാ ഗിരാ ശ്രീ ഭഗവാനുവാച അദ്യ പ്രഭൃതി ഓഭൂവ മയാത്മന്യഖിലേശ്വരേ സുദൃഢാ ജായദേ ഭക്തിർഭാടമാശംസിതം തഥാ ദൃഷ്ട്യാ വ്യവസിതം ഭൂവ ഭവന്തഹൃതഭാഷിണ ശ്രീ ഐശ്വര്യമതോ നാഹം പശ്യ ഉന്മാദകം നൃണാം ഹൈഹയോ നഹുഷോ വേണോ രാവണോ നരകോപരേ ശ്രീമദാൽഭ്രംശിതാസ്ഥാനം ദേവദൈത്യനരേശ്വര ഭവന്തമേതദ്വിജ്ഞായ ദേഹ ഉൽപാദ്യമന്ദവൽ യജന്തോധ്വരൈര്യുക്ത പ്രജാധർമ്മേണ രക്ഷത സന്ദനന്ദ പ്രജാതന്തുൻ സുഖം ദുഃഖം ഭവാഭവൗ പ്രാപ്തം പ്രാപ്തം ജസേ വന്ദോ മച്ചിത്താ വിചരിഷ്യത ഉദാസീനാശ്ച ദേഹത ആത്മാ രാമാതൃതവ്രത മയ്യാവേശ മനസ്സമ്യക് മാമന്ദേ ബ്രഹ്മയാസ്യത ശ്രീശുകവാച ഇത്യാദൃശ നൃപാൻ കൃഷ്ണോ ഭഗവാൻ ഭുവനേശ്വര തേഷാം നിയുക്ത പുരുഷാൻ ശ്രീയോ മഞ്ചന കർമ്മണി സപര്യാം കാരയാമാസ സഹദേവേന ഭാരത നരദേവോചിതേർമസ്തിർ ഭൂഷണേ സൃഗുലേമനൈ ഭോജയിത്വരാന്നേന സുസ്നാഥാൻ സമലംകൃതാൻ ഭോഗേഷു വിധേരുക്ത സാമ്പൂലേർദ്ദേ നൃപോചിതൈ തേ പൂജിതാ മുകുന്ദേന രാജാനോ മൃഷ്ടകുണ്ടലാഹം വിരേ ചുർമോചിതാ ക്ലേശാൽ പ്രാവൃണന്ദേ യഥാഗ്രഹം രഥാൻ സദശനാരോപ്യം മണി കാഞ്ചനഭൂഷിതാൻ പ്രീണയ്യ സുനൃതേർവാക്യേർ സ്വദേശാൻ പ്രത്യയാഭയൽ തോചിതാകൃച്ഛാൽ കൃഷ്ണേന സുമഹാത്മന യൂസ്തമേവധ്യായന്ത കൃതാനിജ ജഗൽപദേ ജഗതു പ്രകൃതിഭ്യസ്തേ മഹാപുരുഷചേഷ്ടിതം യഥാനുശാസൽ ഭഗവാൻ സദാ ചക്രുരതന്ത്രിതാഹ ജരാസന്നം ഘാതയിത്വാ ഭീമസേനേന കേശവ പാർത്ഥാഭ്യാം സംയുതപ്രായാൽ സഹദേവേന പൂജിതാ ഗത്വാദേ ഖാണ്ഡവപ്രസ്ഥം ശംഖാൻ തദ്മൂർജിതാരയ ഹർഷയന്ത സ്വസുഹൃതോ ദുർഹൃതാം ചാ സുഖാവഹ തച്ഛ്രുത്വാ പ്രീതമനസ ഇന്ദ്രപ്രസ്ഥ നിവാസിന മേനിരേ മാഘതം ശാന്തം രാജാ ശാപ്തമനോരഥ അഭിവന്ദ്യാദ രാജാനം ഭീമാർജുന ജനാർദ്ദന സർവമാശ്രാവയം ചക്രു ആത്മാന യതനുഷ്ഠിതം നിശമ്യ ധർമ്മരാജസ്ഥൽ കേശവാനി കേശവേന അനുകമ്പിതം ആനന്ദ അശ്രുകുലം മുഞ്ചൻ പ്രേംനോവാച കിഞ്ചന ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ ദശമസ്കന്ദേ ഉത്തരാർദ്ധേ കൃഷ്ണാധ്യാഗമനെ ത്രിസപ്തതി തമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ശ്രീശുക ഉവാച ഏവം യുധിഷ്ഠിരോരാജ ജരാസന്ദമതം വിഭോ കൃഷ്ണസ്യ ചാനുഭവം തം ചാനുഭാവം തം ശ്രുത്വാ പ്രീത സമബ്രവീൽ യുധിഷ്ഠിര ഉവാച യേസ്യ ത്രൈലോക്യ ഗുരവ സർവേ ലോകമഹേശ്വര വഹന്തി ദുർലഭം ലബ്ധ്വാ ശിരസൈവാനുശാസനം സ ഭവാൻ അരവിന്ദാക്ഷോ ദീനാനാമീഷമാനിനം ദത്തേനുശാസനം ഭൂമം സദത്യന്ത വിഡംബനം മഹേകസ്യ അദ്വിതീയസ്യ ബ്രഹ്മണ പരമാത്മന കർമ്മഭിർവർദ്ധനേ തേ ജോ ഹസദേ ചേധാരവേ നവേ തേ അജിതഭക്താന മമാഹമിതി മാധവ ത്വം ത്വവേതി ച നാനാദി പശൂനാമിവ വൈകൃത ശ്രീശുകവാച ഇത്യുക്ത്വാ ജ്ഞേയരാലെ വവ്രേ യുക്തം സുഹൃത്വിജ കൃഷ്ണാനുമോദിത പാർത്ഥോ ബ്രാഹ്മണാൻ ബ്രഹ്മവാദിനാം ദ്വവായനോ ഭരദ്വാജ സുമന്തുർ ഗൗതമോസിത വസിഷ്ഠശ്യവന കണ്ണോ മൈത്രേയോ കവശസ്ത്രിത വിശ്വാമിത്രോ വാമദേവ സുമതിർ ജൈമിനി ക്രതു പൈല പരാശരോ ഗർഗോ വൈശംബായനയവജ അഥർവ കശ്യപോ ധൗമ്യോ രാമോ ഭാർഗവ ആസുരി വീതിഹോത്രോ മധുച്ഛന്ദ വീരസേനോ അകൃതവ്രണ ഉപഹുദാസദാചാര്യ ദ്രോണഭീഷ്മകൃപാദയ ധൃതരാഷ്ട്രസഹസുതോ വിദുരശ്ച മഹാമതി ബ്രാഹ്മണ ക്ഷത്രിയ വൈശ്യ ബ്രാഹ്മണ ക്ഷത്രിയ വൈശ്യ ശൂദ്രയജ്ഞദർക്ഷവ തത്രേയു സർവരാജാനം രാജ്ഞാം രാജാനുരാജ്ഞാം പ്രകൃതയോ നൃവ തദസ്തേ ദേവയജനം ബ്രാഹ്മണ സ്വർണലാംഗലൈ കൃഷ്ട്വാ തത്ര യഥാംനായം ദീക്ഷയാം ചക്രിരേ നൃപം ഹൈമാഗിലോപകരണ വരുണസേധാ പുര ഇന്ദ്രാദയോ ലോകപാല വിരിഞ്ചുഭവ സംയുത സകണാ സിദ്ധഗന്ധർവ വിദ്യാധര മഹോരക മുനയോ രക്ഷരക്ഷാംസി ജ്ഞാത്വാഹാർദം സഭാസദാം സമർഹയ ഋഷികേശം പ്രീതാപ്രണയ വിഹ്വല തൽപാദാവാനിധ്യ ശിരസാ ലോകപാവനി സഭാര്യ സാനുജാമാത്യം സകുടുംബോ വഹന്മുത വാസോ വിപീത കൗശേയർ ഭൂഷണൈശ്ച മഹാധനൈ അർഹയിത്വ അശ്രുപൂർണാക്ഷോ നാശകൽ സമവേക്ഷിതം ഇത്തം സമാജിതം വീക്ഷ്യ സർവേ പ്രാഞ്ജലയോജന നമോ ജയേതി നേമുസ്തം നിവേദോ പുഷ്പവൃഷ്ടയ ഇത്തം നിശമ്യതമഘോഷസുതസ്വഭീനാം ഉത്ഥായ കൃഷ്ണ ഗുണവർണ്ണന ജാതമന്യു ഉക്ഷിപ്യ ബാഹുമിതമാഹസരസമർഷി സംശ്രാവയൻ ഭഗവതേ പരുഷാണ്യഭീതാഹ ഈശോ ദുരത്തേ കാലേ ഇതി സത്യവതി ശ്രുതി വൃദ്ധാനാമവിയൽ ബുദ്ധിർ ബാലവാക്യേർ വിഭിദ്യതേ യൂയം മാത്രമിതാം ശ്രേഷ്ഠ മാമന്ധ്വം ബാലഭാഷിതം സദസസ്പദയ സർവേ കൃഷ്ണോയൽ സമദോഹണേ തപോ വിദ്യാവൃതധര ജ്ഞാനവൃതധര ജ്ഞാനവിധ്വസ്ത കൽമഷാൻ പരമർഷീൻ ബ്രഹ്മനിഷ്ഠാൻ ലോകപാലൈശ്ച പൂജിതാൻ സദസ്പദീനതിക്രമ്യം ഗോപാലകുലമാംസന യഥാകാകപുരോടാശം സപര്യാം കഥമർഹതി വർണ്ണാശ്രമകുലാഭേദം സർവധർമ്മഭഹിഷ്കൃത സ്വൈരവർത്തി ഗുണർഹീനം സപര്യാം കഥമർഹതി ഏയാദിനേഷാം ഹികലം ശുക്കുലം ശബ്ദം സദ്ബിബർഹിഷ്കൃതം വൃതാപാനരഥം ശശ്വൽ സപര്യാം കഥമർഹതി ബ്രഹ്മർഷിസേവിതാൻ ദേശാൻ ഹിത്വൈതേ ബ്രഹ്മവർച്ചസം സമുദ്രം ദുർഗമാശ്രിത്യ ഭാദന്തേ ശിവ പ്രജാ ഏവമാദീന്യ ഭദ്രാണി ഭഭാഷേ നഷ്ടമംഗള നോവാചകിഞ്ചിൽ ഭഗവാൻ യഥാ സിംഹശിവാരുതം ഭഗവത് നിന്ദനം ശ്രുത്വാ ദുസ്സഹം തൽസഭാ സദാ കർണോഭിനായ നിർജന്മോ ശബന്ദശ്ചേ ദിവമൃഷാം ദിവമൃഷാം നിന്ദാം ഭഗവത ശൂന്യം തൽപരസ്യ ജനസ്യ വാ നദോ നാവേദീയ സോഭി യാത്യത സുഹൃദാച്യുത തഥ പാണ്ഡുസുധാ ക്രുദ്ധ മത്സ്യ കൈകയ സൃഞ്ജയ ഉദായുധ സമുത്ഥസ്തു ശിശുബാലജിഗാം സവ തദശ്വര്യസ്ത സംഭ്രാന്തോ ജഗൃഹേ ഗർഗജർമ്മണി ഭർസയൻ കൃഷ്ണപക്ഷിയാൻ രാജ്ഞ സദസി ഭാരത താവതുദ്ധായ ഭഗവാൻ സ്വാന്നിവാര്യ സ്വയം രുഷ ശിരക്ഷുരാന്തചക്രേണ ജഹാരാപതോരിവോ ശബ്ദകോലാഹലോപ്യാസീൽ ശിശുബാലേ ഹരേ മഹാൻ തസ്യ അനുയായിനോ ഭുവ രുദ്രകുർ ജീവിതൈഷിണ ചൈത്യദേഹോദ്യതം ജ്യോതിർ വാസുദേവ ഭാവിശൽ പശ്യതാം സർവഭൂതാനാം ഉൽക്കേവ ഭൂതാച്യുത ജന്മത്രയാനുഗുണിതം വൈരസംരദ്ധയാ ധിയ ധ്യായം സന്മയതാം യാദോ ഭാവോ ഹി ഭവകാരണം ഹൃത്യ സസദസ്യേഭ്യോ ദക്ഷിണാം വിപുലാമദാൽ സർവാൻ സമ്പൂജ്യ വിധിവൽ ചക്ര ഏവ മുഖമേകരാൾ സാധയിത്വാ കൃതം രാജ്ഞാ കൃഷ്ണോ യോഗേശ്വരേശ്വര ഉവാസകതജന്മാസാൻ സൗർഭ്യഭിയാചിത തദോനുജ്ഞാപ്യ രാജാനം അനിച്ഛന്ദമവീശ്വര ഏവ സഭാര്യ സാമാത്യ സുബിരം ദേവകീസുത വർണ്ണിനന്ദദുവാഖ്യാനം മയാദേ ബഹുവിസ്തരം വൈകുണ്ഠവാസിനോ ജന്മം വിപ്രശാപാൽ പുന പുന രാജസൂയാവൃത്യേന സ്നാദോ രാജായി ദൃഷ്ടിരാം ബ്രഹ്മക്ഷത്രസഭാമധ്യേ ശുശുഭേ സുരരാടിവാം രാജ്ഞാ സഭാജിതാ സർവേ സുരമാനവഖേചന ദുര്യോധനപദേ ശ്രിയം സ്മീത്വാ ദൃഷ്ട്വാ പാണ്ഡുസുദസ്യതാം യകീർത്തം യഇദം കീർത്തയേദ് വിഷ്ണോ കർമ്മ രാജമോക്ഷം വിധാനം ച സർവഭാവൈ പ്രമുച്യതേ. സോ ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ ദി ശിശുബാലസ് കില്ലിംഗ് ഓഫ് ശിശുബാല ഈസ് ഡിസ്കസ് ദയർ ആൻഡ് അറ്റ് ദി എൻഡ് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ യു ക്യാൻ സീ സുഖദേവ് ഗോസ്വാമി ഹാസ് ഗിവൺ എ ബെനഡിക്ഷൻ to those who read this particular chapter. Why it is like that? Ya idam kirtayet vishnu karma jaitya vadhadiyam rajamoksham vidhanam cha sarvabhavai pramuchyadeyam. That in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find in different places what is called as phalashuddhi. Phalashuddhi means that at the end of the chapter Sudeva Goswami will say like this, that if you read this chapter, this will be the benefit from that. This will be the result of that. So in this particular chapter, Sudeva Goswami says, Sarvabhavai Pramuchyade, that one will get rid of one's own sinful activities, reactions in one's life. Like that, in different pastimes of Krishna, different benedictions are attached to it. So normally people think, oh, we should not ask for any benediction from Krishna, because then our devotion is not very pure. We will ask all other things, how much money we want, we have no problem. But then we will say that these things, benedictions, are not worthwhile. So the normal tendency in the human nature is that if you talk to them all the time about spiritual world, afterwards they get tired. They say that I'm here right now in this earthly planet. I'm here. And if you're always telling me, go to spiritual world. One day they get tired of it. They say that I had enough of it. And they will lose their interest to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. They will lose their interest. Actually, Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for those who want to go back to spiritual world. It's only for them, Srimad Bhagavatam is meant. In the beginning, Vedavyasa has made it very, very clear also that one has to come to that platform of vairagyam, renunciation, knowledge, jnanam, and devotion, the bhakti for Krishna. Only then one can go back to the spiritual world. That is the stage one is qualified to go back. Everything in this world is qualification. It is not something by endeavor you acquire. You acquire by qualification. You qualify yourself to attain something in this world. So that is the normal system from the Vedic point of view. If one gets something in this world, it's so many ways it is presented in the Vedic literature to tell us that how important is qualification, not endeavor. And endeavor is to qualify for that, not endeavor to get something. Endeavor to become qualified, and also in the qualification, Krishna will offer you the results also. Just for example, this is one point which will always come to the mind when we talk about this qualification. In all the Vedic literature, particularly in the prayers in the Rigvedam, Purusha Suktam, Sri Suktam, and Narayana Suktam, and there are so many other important prayers, everywhere you will find the Vedic mantras talking about qualification. Become qualified for this. Even while offering prayers to Shri, that is Mahalakshmi, the prayer is that qualify me for that so that I may get it. This is how it is, the prayers are. Why is it like that?
This is one important question. The answer to that is that, take for example in this world, if you think about the situation in this world, often you hear the news that people are dying of starvation in some places. People are dying of starvation or due to some other distress that comes to them. Now, generally, our human tendency is to rush help to everywhere, wherever we can get. It's nothing wrong in doing that, but sometimes when such things happen, one has to go a little bit deeper into it and see why these things are happening. And from the Vedic point of view, it is only because what is known as disqualification comes in there. There is plenty of food in this world, but still people are apt to starve in this world. Why the situation happens? Immediately you can understand this, that it is not lack of resources that's causing this problem in this world, but it's not getting to the place where it's required. And this one thing will, if you think about it deeply, you'll notice that there is something which is causing this problem, that somebody is not getting it. Although the thing is there in this world, there is plenty of food in this world, there's no shortage, but still people have to die in this world for want of food. So such a situation does develop. You may say that it is due to bad management or not cooperation, this and the other. Veda says no, none of your management will work here. He says there is a higher management than all these things. And that management decides that who is qualified to get what in this world. So that's why qualification is important. From the Vedas, you understand this. The sages knew these things very well. The intricate nature of the laws of material world, laws of material nature. And because they knew that, they knew the human nature also very well. They knew this very well. Not only in relationship with the food, in so many other things also you can find that what an important thing this higher law plays in one's own life in many, many ways. So unfortunately, people who does not think in that way, they try to put every endeavor in the direction of solving their distress, but they do not achieve it at the end because they do not know that there is somebody else who is awarding the results of your own actions. You may be the best in your activity, but the results has to be sanctioned by a higher authority. So, while reading Srimad Bhagavatam also, everyone who takes to Srimad Bhagavatam, according to Vedavyasa, is full of distress. He has got distress in his life. That is why we take to Srimad Bhagavatam. We all have some distress or the other. Bhagavatam begins with that. Tavatrayavan Moolanam. Removing distress is Srimad Bhagavatam, what it does. And at the end of Bhagavatam also, the same thing is repeated again. What does it say? It says that Nama Sangirtanam Yasya Sarvabhava Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Shamanam. Dukkha Shamanam. We have, all of us have distress in this world. If somebody thinks he has no distress in this world, all you can say is that wish you well. That's all. That's all you can say to him who is not experiencing distress in this world. All of us are in distress. That is, even that understanding is not coming to us. Even that understanding is not coming to us. This is the power of Maya. Maya has kept us in this strong belief that everything is wonderful here in this world. And in that process, we forget this instruction from the great sages. That the sages, they had the good intelligence to see this from the very beginning. So therefore, they gave up material activities and took to the process of Krishna consciousness from the very beginning. But we come to this after, even after getting distressed heavily, still we are still not sure what we should do after that. So intelligent person, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, he will come to Krishna to seek the relief from this distress. Why am I put into this distress? One should think like that. Why I got into this material body? Why am I subjected to continuously this different kinds of distresses? Adhyatmikam, Adhibhaudikam, and Adhidevikam. All three kinds of distresses. So they are chasing us one after the other. And anyone who analyzes life also knows that one day one has to give up this body. In the Vedas, if you read, all these things are such an importance given to all these things. Whereas, normally, material literature, as soon as you open it, everything is glorious, isn't it? Everything is glorious. So much sense gratification is discussed. And we think this is the type of literature we should read. If you read Vedic literature, we think you get depressed. So why should I read that and make myself depressed? This is our mind. Our mind will tell us like this. We shouldn't read such books and disturb our mind unnecessarily. Whereas I am happily enjoying my life in this world. And if I take to Srimad Bhagavatam and start reading, tomorrow I will unnecessarily get depressed and go to for somebody else for advice what to do after that. So instead of doing all that, if you take Srimad Bhagavatam in the hand and analyze why Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled, you will find there was a great goal behind it. And that was this, relieving the distress of the living entity. People who are very thoughtful, it is for them Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to be read. And therefore, great personalities like Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Surup Damodar, Ramananda Roy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all these great souls, they have taken Srimad Bhagavatam in their hand. And in spite of their positions, where they came from, whatever background they came from, they all found shelter in Srimad Bhagavatam. They found shelter in Srimad Bhagavatam. Whether it was Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami, they were in distress. They were great personalities. They had everything what normally people will look forward to in this world. High position, lot of wealth, and great opportunity for living comfortably in this world. They gave up everything. Why? Because they understood that there is distress. The distress is there in their heart. Because if you see, when Sanatana Goswami met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first time, the questions what Sanatana Goswami raised at that time is an indication that how much distress he was going through in his mind. It is a reflection of the distress what he was experiencing. He threw away everything, all his opulences, wealth, fame, everything, was not concerned at all, and simply wanted to take Srimad Bhagavatam and propagate and take the shelter of Bhagavatam. So this is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Srimad Bhagavatam, for very thoughtful people, they will find shelter in the Bhagavatam. But what about ordinary people like us? We are not Sanatana Goswami or Rupa Goswami. We are here in this world. Possibly we can spare an hour or two in a week to hear about Krishna. Rest of the time we have our own commitments in family life or official life, whatever it is. So this is our position. Does that mean that we have no benefit reading Srimad Bhagavatam? Does that mean that? No, it is not like that. Why? The sages knows our situation very well. They also know that these are the customers who are going to come later. And these customers have got problems. When you know a customer hasn't got the capacity to pay, it's no point in trying to sell him something which he can't afford to buy. Isn't it? I mean, it's a simple principle of business. That you realize your customer, what his capacity is to pay. Sometimes when you go to an estate agent and ask about house details, he will ask you first question, what's your budget? Isn't it? All housing estates people will do that. Only after that they'll talk to you, because he doesn't want to show you £1 million property when you can only buy 250,000 or 500,000 maximum. You can afford to pay. So it comes from there. That the sages knew our psyche very well. He knew our psychology. That if he sages sits there and tells us the glories of Goloka Vrindavanam all the time and presents a graphic picture of the life there, we will not be attracted to it. We will say to the Srimad Bhagavatam, look, at this time I am busy in my life. When I am close to retire, or after retirement maybe, that's the best thing. After retirement, when I finish all my business here, one day I will take Srimad Bhagavatam and I will start reading it. But if you leave it at that way, then it's not going to happen. Majority of cases it won't happen. Why? Because it is, first of all, where is the guarantee that you will get to his retirement age? There is no guarantee. And the government is keeping it, raising it all the time. 65, 70, 70. Government will be happy if you retire at 90. More than happy. And I don't know whether this government, European Union or whatever it is, whoever is discussing this topic, there is no consideration of anything that this poor man has spent his whole life in this world toiling. Give him some rest, at least at the old age. There's no such consideration. The focus is on how to exploit him further, even at the old age. Another 10 years, if I can get out of him before he leaves the body, it is all the best. The treasury is happy, the IR, Indian Revenue is happy, everybody is happy. No consideration at all about the poor person who has toiled all his life. So that is the psyche of the material world. But our problem is, we have got another problem, that this fear of survival in this world also won't allow us to take to Bhagavatam. So all these problems are in front of us. And these great personality sages, they knew this, that this will happen in the Kali Yuga, that government will keep pushing the taxes, 25, 30, 40 pence a pound, and it will keep going up. And they will find an excuse to spend the money also somewhere. And the poor taxpayer one time start thinking, what's the point in working at the end? After all, whatever I work, 50% government takes, 50% family takes, and I wasted all my time in life. What did I gain from this? So anyone who is normally thinking in this world will think in all these things. Normal people. So we are all belong to that category. We are not the category of the great sages who thought in a different way. We belong to this category. So Krishna, Vedavyasa is saying that even in that situation, come to Srimad Bhagavatam. Don't leave Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, in order to keep people interested in Srimad Bhagavatam, we need some, we need some benefit from that by reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Something we have to get immediate benefit. So, knowing very well this psychology of the human society, Vedavyasa and Sukadeva Goswami has given certain benedictions also in the Bhagavatam to benefit it for the reader or to the listener, for both of them. So that is why in different places in the Bhagavatam you will find statements like this, that take to Srimad Bhagavatam. Even if you are experiencing material distress, come to Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam will give you shelter. That is also clear. How Bhagavatam gives shelter, that is another thing. Bhagavatam, if you start reading Bhagavatam, don't expect a check by post tomorrow to come. That's not going to happen. That's not how Bhagavatam solves the problem. Bhagavatam's way of solving the problem is different. When you start reading Srimad Bhagavatam, actually, everyone suffers in this world only due to one reason. What is that? Krishna has explained that in the Bhagavad Gita very nicely in the beginning. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna samulbhavaha. This rajoguna, what is in us? It is continuously pushing us more and more needs in life. But continuously increasing the demand for our material happiness. Already we know that this material life, no matter how hard you try to get it right, you will never get it right. Have you seen anyone who says, you can ask at the time when he retires or sometime in life, that how was your life throughout your, you have now spent 70 years in this world, what do you feel about that? You do an interview to somebody who does that. It will be a long tale of miseries from beginning to end. That's all. That's all you will get. How he went through distress in his school days, how he was distressed in his early life, in the married life, and family problems, this, that, and the other. In addition to that, all the distress he went through in the working life. And ultimately, he is feeling a little better now, that at least that's over, finished and done with. That's the mood of most of the people. That is the reality also in this world. People will say so many things. Then, in order to forget the distress, they keep themselves occupied with all kinds of things. But strictly speaking, by and large, everyone is in distress. There is no question about that. It is distress that brings you to Krishna. And that is exactly why in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, what is Krishna saying? Krishna says, four kinds of people come to me. Isn't it? Chadurvida bhajandemam jana sukradi arjuna artho jignyasu artharti jnani chabaradarshavam. So out of these four categories, artha, jignyasu, artharti, jnani. Artha means one who is in distress. And artha jignyasu. Jignyasu means one who is inquisitive to know about Krishna. Artharti. Artharti and artha is very close. Artharti also wants money. Artharti means who wants money, wealth. So, artho jignyasu artharti. And then the fourth one, jnani, the one who is in knowledge. Jnani ja bharadarshava. Four categories Krishna has mentioned. Now, out of these four, if you very carefully analyze it, you will see that fourth category, jnani, is a very rare thing. You could say, like the great sages, they were such personalities. They had that deep realization in them that they were full of knowledge, with the spiritual knowledge, that they were able to go looking for Krishna from the day one. They had no to stop any time. That is jnani. Jnani is that personality who has that vision from the very beginning in life to see that human life is meant for realizing the self and going back to Krishna. That self-realization, intense desire in the heart from the day one, and willing to sacrifice whole material life in this world for that purpose. He is a jnani. So that they are a very rare breed altogether. You won't find many. You can count them on your fingers. There are so few. Now, if you look at the other three, artha, jignyasu, and artharthi. Take the case of jignyasu. Jignyasu has come to Krishna for one reason. Why? Jignyasu has come because he is inquisitive. He is curious to know what's Krishna. Because he has some understanding that there is a higher authority above this whole creation. What is controlling this? What keeps this going? So when one has come to that understanding, naturally he will inquire, and that is the position with the jignyasu. He is not a very higher position in that. Jignyasu is not very highly, because depending on the degree of jignyasa, or depending on the degree of inquisitiveness, his realizations will also be accordingly that. But now the rest two, the other two, artha and artharthi. If you take those two, who is superior? Who is superior? The superior one is artha. Artha is superior. Artharthi, his position is like this. As soon as he gets his artha, he will say goodbye to Krishna. Today he needs some money, he'll come to Krishna. He will do everything what's necessary to please Krishna. But as soon as the money is in the pocket or the check is given, then you will say, we will only come to Krishna next time when he needs some money again. That is artharthi, which is also not a very good category of devotee. They are not belong to the best. They are not the best. But artha, look at artha's case. Artha means one who is in distress. In other words, due to our own activities in this material world in different bodies, accumulated different kinds of karma, reactions, karmic reactions. Prarabdham, agamam, sanjidam, three kinds of karma that exist. All this karma has accumulated in the form of vasanas or propensities inside our consciousness. And these conscious propensities in us is constantly giving us different kinds of material desires. All these material desires continuously push us to work in this world, to act in a particular way, to acquire, to fulfill those desires to become happy. This is how it is happening. Strictly speaking, our life in this world is only is distressful, mostly because of this one problem, that continuous flow of desires in the mind to fulfill different material needs in this world. So that is how it begins. And these desires are endless. They are endless desires. So because it is flowing constantly, we are unable to check it. We are unable to stop it. Today one thing happens, tomorrow something else, another one day after. Like these desires are continuous flow of desires. Therefore, you will notice that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as in Bhagavad Gita, and so many other places, this arresting the desires is one important thing. In other words, Vairagyam or renunciation is an important factor. Without renunciation, knowledge will not manifest in a person. That is the nature of spiritual knowledge. Material knowledge will manifest in a person, no matter in what condition one is. It is not controlled by the consciousness or the nature of the mind. But spiritual knowledge to manifest, vairagyam or renunciation is necessary in this world. So, to bring one to that platform, all the great sages are constantly endeavoring and telling us that to wake us up from our deep sleep in which we are absorbed at the moment, and to bring us to the understanding that we are subjected to all these kinds of distresses. They are not saying this to us to depress us. That's not the intention. They are telling us to wake us up, to come to the reality, to understand that this is the realities of life. This is what is you have in offer for you. If you understand this, automatically vairagyam will come. Renunciation will come to a person. And when renunciation comes, automatically the material desires also will go away from a person's heart. So why jnanam and vairagyam is considered to be the two children of bhakti? If you remember in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, when we spoke about the glories of Bhagavatam, we spoke that the young lady who was lying down very like an old person, that was Bhakti Devi. And these men, two men who were sitting next to her, who were also looked very old, they were, one was jnanam and the other one was vairagyam. The renunciation personified and knowledge personified. They are her two children. They are her two children. And this Bhakti Devi got her life back from where? From Srimad Bhagavatam, she got her life back by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in Haridwar. That is where that story takes us to. So, when you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, if Bhakti Devi got her life back, and these two old men got back their youth by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, what does it mean? It means, simultaneously, knowledge, renunciation and devotion must build up in one's heart by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the essence of that. These three things has to build up inside. If it is not a ritual to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, it is useless to hear Srimad Bhagavatam like a ritual. Oh, I heard Srimad Bhagavatam for an hour, now I'll go and continue doing what I'm doing. No, that's not the goal. The goal is this Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by Vedavyasa Maharshi and Sudeva Goswami to Parikshit has a lot of very, very important things to tell us. And if these thoughts are building up inside, and they will naturally give the impetus to develop that detachment from this material world and renunciation necessary to qualify oneself for spiritual knowledge. This is the qualification of the Srimad Bhagavatam. As I mentioned before, we have to qualify. Qualifying is the most important process. So, when does bhakti come? Bhakti comes when one has renunciation and knowledge. That is when bhakti comes. So, developing that is necessary. And therefore, such a lifestyle is developed, a devotee's lifestyle, controlling the senses, controlling the mind, controlling the bodily needs. In such a way one lives, that automatically encourages him to develop spiritual knowledge. Otherwise, it is not possible. In many, many instances in the Bhagavatam, you will find Krishna says what pleases him. People wonder sometimes, what does Krishna wants me to control my eating, control my sleeping, control my sense enjoyment? What does he get from this? This is a question naturally will come. Many, many people have difficulty to accept this also. And Krishna answers that like this. Daya sarva bhudeshu sandushto yena geneva sarvendriyo bashandhyaja tushyadi ashu janardhanam. Sri Narada Maharshi mentions about Krishna like this. What pleases Krishna? There is not a lot required to please Krishna. Only a few things. Our incapacity to even to do that. What are they? Daya sarva bhudeshu. Always compassionate to other living entities. Not to hurt anyone. Any other living being in this world. That is why this ahimsa or non-violence has got a lot of importance given, even by other religious processes also, like Buddhism. They give importance to this ahimsa, non-violence very much. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam also you will find Krishna given importance to this non-violence. Non-violence means not to disturb another living entity by any reason. Daya sarva bhudeshu sandushto yena kenava. Always satisfied with what one has in life, not being concerned too much about what goes on, and that desire to control one's own mind. Daya sarva bhudeshu sandushto yena kenava. Then sarvendriyo bhashandhyaja. Always able to control one's senses, indriyam and mind, completely under control, not allowing that to go in different direction. Then, if these three things are done, tushyadi, ashu, janardana, Krishna is immediately pleased with that person. Even if he has not developed a very high attachment for Krishna, even if he has practiced Krishna consciousness, if these three things alone will develop some recognition from Krishna. Bhagavatam says like that. So, because of all these things, and because we are all in different situations in this material world, due to our own different karma that is coming and forcing us to act one way or the other, we are subjected to the different modes of nature, subjected to the distresses of this material world. So, such a person who is subjected to such distress, they should take to Srimad Bhagavatam. And these halashudis are different things, what is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam as benefits to people, is only spoken with the intention that people will stay with Srimad Bhagavatam. And these benefits will come to them. But how that will manifest in a person, that is difficult to say. Bhagavatam is not a material subject. Bhagavatam is a spiritual topic. But we are in the material consciousness. We are in the material world. We are not purely qualified to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, there is a link that is required between us and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, because of all these things, in different places in the Bhagavatam, you will find references to different benefits for one who take to Srimad Bhagavatam. Many, many places, like Samantaka Jewel, there is a mention of a benefit of reading that chapter. Rukmini's marriage to Krishna, there is a benefit mentioned to that. Rukmini's quarrel with Krishna, reading about that, benefit from that. The reading the churning of the milk ocean, there is mentioned there. The story of Gajendra, the benefits are mentioned there. In all these different things, when one reads that, one starts thinking, how come Srimad Bhagavatam is a spiritual literature and there is so many material benefits are mentioned? These questions will always keep coming up in the mind. So the answer to that is this, that we have to recognize this fact that we are materialists. We are not spiritualists. We are very much controlled by the material energy. And this material energy is tightly controlling us. And to free ourselves from that, the sages understood that sometimes we have to give a bonus somewhere to bring them in. Otherwise we won't take it. We will say, if it is purely talked about spiritual world, our interest will not be there. So therefore, even from the material point of view, one experiencing, ultimate goal is distress has to go away. That's the point, isn't it? And there are many interesting things that sometimes so much material desires come in the mind for different nature, different people, different ways. And then this distress is giving, these desires develops into distress at the end, isn't it? Where does distress come from? Distress comes because when you're not able to fulfill all your desires, that's when the distress comes. So, but this distress will go away in a different way through Srimad Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam presents the spiritual knowledge to the person. And when the spiritual knowledge develops inside, automatically all these material needs goes away to some high degree, and then there is no distress also. With that it goes. That is why if you read the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is some very powerful verses. Sudeva Goswami has spoken to Parikshit at that time. If you can see, there is, he says there, is there no hands to use as pillows, he says. Why do you go and buy from the Marks and Spencer these expensive pillows? He says, can you not use your hand as the pillows? Have the trees stopped giving fruits now? Why do you go and have to please these wealthy people to make your living in this world? Is the rivers not flowing anymore? Is there no water anymore in the rivers to take it and drink? Is there no caves to go and take shelter? Why do you need these expensive houses for to live? Like this, why does he say all these things? In order to tell us that there is only one thing to get through to our mind. We, under material consciousness, is thinking, if we don't have all these things, we'll be in serious trouble in this world. But that is the qualification for spiritual life, what Sukadeva Goswami is talking about. And then, eventually, he asked one important question to Parikshit. What was that? Kasma albhajandi gavayo dhanadurma dandam. Why do you go and have to lick the feet of these wealthy people to make a living in this world? That is what he asked there to Parikshit. Kasma albhajandi gavayo dhanadurma dandam. Dhanadurma dandam. Those who are very wealthy and holding their wealth and feeling pride about it, why do you have to take their shelter? It has all these things stopped in this world. Krishna is not producing all these still for you. Do you need anything more than this to live in this world? This is what Sukadeva Goswami asked to Parikshit at that time. You can see from that question what qualifies one person for spiritual life. It's not the wealth, it's not your health, it's nothing. What is required is that strong vairagyam or detachment from material world. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the literature for those who wants to understand spiritual life. Everything what's required for spiritual life is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll stop there. We'll continue next week. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.